We're back, and we're bringing you news from around the gaming universe while we bake in the 2021 Heat Dome. Cooking in the oven, we have some evergreen stories of cheating, piracy being better than the official release, and the unsurprising news that a Pokemon game nets billions of dollars during its existence. Also, there's more Assassin's Creed coming. You could set your clock to news about that in Call of Duty. This is the non-exhaustive list of stories we're set to cover tonight. Now it's time for your hosts, Rob Roberts, Jamie Summers, and Logie, to provide you with the details of these and the rest of the week's gaming news, starting right now on the show where every gamer has a voice.
Welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio, and we are back after a little break for the holiday last week. Once again, live with episode number 875 of our show for tonight, July the 11th of 2021. It has been a heck of a week. We'll talk all about that in just a moment. But first, let me say hello. I am Rob Roberts, and I am joined by Dark Sakura, or Jamie Summers.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I have decided to be natural today.
Yes,
so well, that.
I was just saying you're going the natural makeup free, but you have an upgraded camera thing going on for those watching on Twitch, because I have to say this every week, we do tape live every Sunday night at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern at twitch.tv/VogNetwork, the Voice of Geeks Network, right after the Bobby Blackwolf show. Shout out to Bobby Blackwolf for an excellent job hosting that SGDQ, Summer Games Done Quick, finale last night. We'll talk more about that in a little bit. Shout out to the raid we just got as well before we went live tonight. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
He who is Steve, allegedly, supposedly, Steve.
Hey,
if that
Steve.
If that is Steve's real name. No, thank you very much for the raid. Anyway, I was going to say, your camera is all nice and fancy.
Well, I was using like this knockoff GoPro looking thing.
You ordered it off Wish. Just say it. You ordered it off Wish.
I didn't order it off Wish. I ordered it on AliExpress.
I thought it might be Wish.
Which is only a step up.
Okay.
But, I was doing some research, and I was looking at getting a Logitech Brio. Lots of money, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I thought about it.
It works so good.
Loki, you be quiet till I introduce you.
It's my turn. What I ended up doing is I was looking at reviews of cameras, and people were actually showing about using your iPhone as a camera. And I was like, why I have an iPhone? Why I have a Mac? And I can tell you that, first of all, I have two different apps that I'm using. And one of them I use for OBS that has an even higher resolution and even less latency. The one I have to use for this, and this is just like the free version, so it's only, 720p, but, it looks great. The iPhone camera is miles above any on-the-market capture device, short of using a professional 4K camera with a conversion. And this is basically the equivalent of doing it. So I have this rig set up that has my phone on it, and right now I'm running through Camo. Which, again, all the reviews of using an iPhone versus a Logitech Brio, this blows the Brio out of the water.
Wow.
So I've got my apps all set up. You don't need an IP, for the record. There's an OBS, a iPhone for OBS app that does it natively for OBS. So you don't need to have an IP or an address or anything like that. You just straight up hook up, install the link plugin, and you're set. The same with Camo. It works the same way. I am incredibly happy with it. And, I can charge my phone and do stuff at the same time. So, I'm quite pleased with it. Depending on how this goes, I may actually pay for this one.
You know,
so we'll see.
I'm gonna have to re-listen to this and take notes furiously, or try to get some links from you for some of this, because this is really good for the whole discussion about, you know, anybody can have a Twitch channel, or anybody can have a YouTube, anybody can do a podcast. You know, we want to get more voices out there. We want to get, you know, a lot of diversity and a lot of different people out there. And a lot of folks think they have to buy this big fancy technical equipment to get started. And it turns out, you can probably just use your phone. I mean, you might have to pay a small fee for, you know, the converter thing or whatever, but that's pretty awesome.
Well, and the thing is, just to point out something that Tiger Claw is saying, is to use like an IP one. No, uh-huh. Don't use an IP. Uh-huh. Anything that uses an IP. Use something that's going to use plugins and your USB cable. You will get far less latency that way.
Oh, good to know. All right.
Yeah, and usually a higher image quality.
Before I go to Loki, how did you have a good week off? I think you were here streaming that night, right? I don't remember. The 4th of July we had off here at OLR because the holiday in the States.
At my normal time.
Gotcha. Okay.
Because we went swimming.
Oh, okay. Yeah, nice. Nice. I spent the day up in the for those of you that remember an old show I used to host here on VOG called Horde House. It was about like Warcraft and other online games. So or if you ever heard Starboard Power Coupling, that was Captain Matt or Grandpa Matt, depending on what show it was. His show, and he has a cabin out in the woods, literally, now. So he has a cabin out in the woods. And so he invited us up for the 4th, and it was great because, you know what? No fireworks, because they are all banned up there, because that is primo, you know, unfortunately, forest fire territory. So fireworks are a huge no-no. It was so quiet and so peaceful. I had a great 4th. Lovely. Anyway. Hi, Techmaster Loki. How are you?
You could get around that ban by just saying that you're doing a gender reveal, and then it's okay.
No, that's even worse. Those stupid parties have even more disaster than anything else. It's just, oh my gosh, ridiculous. Anyway, how was your holiday? How was your break?
It was fine. We just went over to my mom's house because my niece is born on the 4th of July. So her birthday as well. So we went over there, just did pizza and lit off some fireworks.
Nice. Sounds like you had a nice little break. How's the YouTube channel going? You posted another video in the past few days, right?
I posted one last week, I think. It's been a struggle because we've been having weird server issue things. Also, the build I'm doing right now is very big, and so it's taken a long time to get to the point where I can do a time lapse and actually build it. So I'm finished with the design stuff right now because I'm finishing what I started with Tango, kind of the build inspired by that, and it's enormous. So I've been just kind of working to get there, and we just updated the 117.1. So with that came other things that are breaking. So I got stuff to work though finally, but it's just good. Been a little bit of a struggle.
All right.
But yeah, I did release a video, I think, last week. I wanted to release one this week. I will try to get it out as early as I can. We've had people leave the server as well, and they've gone to other SMP servers, which look pretty fun.
Okay.
but I'm sticking with this one until the end of the season, so we'll see what happens.
All right, sounds good. So we're going to get into our kickoff topic for tonight. But first, I thought I'd kind of reintroduce the show since we were off last week. And it's been a little while since I've done a little reintroduction. And we got that nice little raid here at the top of the show tonight between Bobby's show going off air and us coming on air. So hi. Hi. That's our intro. Hi. We're Orange Lounge Radio. And we have just entered our 20th year of internet broadcasting, if you can believe it. We celebrated our 19th birthday. That was our last live episode 2 weeks ago. So we've been doing this show for a long time. We all met as Frenzies playing Dance Dance Revolution and other music games at the arcade. That's how we met, which is great. So to kind of talk a little bit about Summer Games Done Quick a little bit, which our pal Bobby was involved with, they had a really cute run of some music games that they did, and they were doing like Dance Rush Stardom, which is what
they did. Cool.
That's the new one they do, which is, it's funny because that's what we would used to talk about back in the day was, imagine if it was just one giant pad and it could reach, that's literally what Dance Rush Stardom is, but it was really cute because they got the whole community involved at the end, and I was like, oh, that is something we would have done back in the day. It's adorable. So anyway, that's the whole, you know, those
music game has been around forever, and that's where we were all kind of born out of. We did a show on Live 365 for a long time, and then, you know, time passes, and for us there was a long break in music games between the last DDR they really did and then the like Rock Band. So kind of in that interim, we decided we're going to talk about all video games and make our show about all types of games, and that's where we've been at ever since. It's been a very long time. So we were live on Shoutcast for a long time, and we made the switch to Twitch about 2 years ago, and it's been working great. We get to meet a lot more people. you get to see our faces for better or for worse. But remember, we are recording a podcast, so sometimes our video interactions are a little bit minimal because we, you know, have had this podcast very, very long time, pretty much before iTunes launched podcasting. So a very, very long time. So we mainly do this for the folks listening on the podcast feed. But of course, we love the folks that join us live on Sunday nights as well. Yes, I was just gonna say real quick, Orange Wright shared that clip from episode one where we predicted Dance Rush. Sorry. Yes. Yes, Jamie.
So I was thinking that when I submitted us for a Guinness World Record, I said longest running internet video game show.
Yeah.
I should have actually said longest running video game show. Because.
I don't know what on TV or traditional radio would be longer.
Well, I mean, really just any sort of video game program.
Yeah. Well, I can't think
of.
You
know, non-print.
Yeah.
We've outlasted and gone longer than just about anything that's been on TV.
Oh, Bobby says Electric Playground still exists. They started in the 90s in Canada and are still on today. And no big break? Because, like, I wouldn't count X-Play because there's going to be a big break there between all that. But if that's, then it is
when
what
are
it
they
is.
Coming back? Like, they keep talking about GeForce coming back, GeForce coming back. When? When is that happening? Like, because I hear all the hype about it's coming back. But, like, I don't see it coming back.
To be clear, I know they are different shows. I'm aware. But I'm just saying, well, just I was using X-Play as an example. They are at a big break. And so that wouldn't count. So, anyway.
Yeah, because they did, was it? They did, like, a thing back in Thanksgiving. That was, like, 8 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
Where's G4? It's still.
Well,
it...
Back to the Guinness World Record.
Yes, please.
I'm glad that I submitted it in the category that I did because it is a first. And I'm feeling very confident that we're going to get it.
That's
very,
exciting.
Very, very confident.
That's exciting.
Yeah. Pessimist, so I don't think we're going to get it because everything is unfortunately bad for me. So I'm going to expect we don't get it.
Well,
sorry,
this is.
I'm just bringing the whole show down.
Who says I'm doing it for you? I'm doing it for me.
It's just by association. Have you ever seen the movie The Cooler? Yeah, I'm the cooler, but just in the sense of like, reality and
and I'm an apathist, so my thought is
don't you dare. I need this.
It'll be awesome. It'll be awesome. All right. Let's get into it. Before we get accused of not ever talking about video games, let's get into tonight's kickoff topic and talk about a big story that's going around the gaming world this week, and that is Nintendo unveiled a new Switch
Pro. Wait, oh, that's
yawn.
Womp, womp.
Yawn.
Gotcha. Okay, so
major yawn.
Here's the thing, is that I don't want to say I told you so, but we set our expectations, not we, but you. I'm saying we to be nice. Set your expectations a little high.
We mean you.
Yeah, by we mean you.
I had no expectations, so they've met none of that.
This is a relationship. When I say it's not you, it's me, it's actually you. the problem is, y'all set your expectations too high on social media for that Switch Pro because Bloomberg and all these other clickbait sites that exist to generate revenue based off clicks. I don't want to say they lied. I actually don't think they lied. But they hyped up some rumors and whispers and things written on bathroom stalls that perhaps were not ready for prime time just yet. So we found out we are getting a new Switch. So let's talk about what we are getting. It's an OLED model. So in a nutshell, it's going to be a different handheld unit. It will be a 7-inch handheld with the OLED screen. That's going to be the biggest change. So basically, it's going to look more like a PlayStation Vita, because I think the Vita used OLED, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah.
That was a gorgeous screen. Like, that's the reason to still play. Again, Final Fantasy IV, my favorite to play it on is the Vita, the PSP version on the Vita. That is my favorite way to play that game. And these new
little remakes they're doing, I know are not going to be as good. So anyway, there's also going to be a wired LAN port in the dock, if that's a thing that's of interest to you. And, oh, a boost in internal storage to 64 gigabytes. That will all be...
We're getting there.
Wahoo! That will all be coming out the same day as Metroid Dread. That's October the 8th, and it's going to set you back $350 for the system. Now, look. If I were to play most of my time in handheld, I'd probably think this is pretty cool. I might consider getting one, although since I already have a Switch, I'm not sure I'm really into it. But this is going to be great for people who, for whatever reason, still haven't got on board with the Switch yet. This is going to be a sweet upgrade for those folks, I think. But, you know, for folks like me who play 95% of the time in docked mode, there's really nothing here. I mean, one could argue maybe the wired LAN. I mean, you can get that like as a accessory or whatever.
You can buy the
really
dock separately,
it.
Too.
Yeah, exactly. So the biggest surprise in that is that it's not a 4K system, and it's not a Pro. It's not a buffed up system. It's not going to get you more frames on Breath of the Wild or Breath of the Wild 2. I kind of think, you know, and I said this before a few shows ago, I kind of think what happened here is that I said this when Nintendo didn't announce anything leading up to E3, and then they came out and said their E3 presentation was specifically, they specifically said software only, no hardware. And then they kind of lied because they had that Zelda Game & Watch, but we'll let that one slide. They very clearly made it known there's not going to be any Switch announcements. And that was the point where I think I was saying, and to be fair, other people too were saying, you know what? This chip shortage that's going on in the world right now, you still can't get a fucking PlayStation 5. Does Nintendo really want to get... Do you want Nintendo and their hardware folks, which... Oh, that can be exhausting sometimes to try to find Nintendo hardware, right? Do you want Nintendo to try to release a Switch Pro right now? Because to be honest, with the chip shortages still going around and stuff, I kind of don't. I kind of think this is great news that we're not getting a Switch Pro this year because I don't want to fight people for one. And I think deep down, most of you don't want to fight people for one either, as much as you may have liked the 4K and all that stuff. You know what? Let it bake in the oven for another year. Maybe we'll see something next year instead. Maybe at this point they just say, screw it, and we get a Switch 2 or a, you know, a real successor to the Switch console.
Oh my, the Switch U? We're getting the Switch U?
I kind of think, not to get too far off topic with that, but I kind of think Nintendo's going to stick with the Switch for a while. I think everybody's talking about they'll go from the Switch Pro to the next Nintendo console, and I'm kind of like, the next Nintendo console will be a Switch of some sort. They're going to keep this handheld dock thing going for a while. It might look different. It might have some radical changes. But the whole concept of Switch, that is staying. I would be shocked if they went away from that. But then again, they kind of did that with Wii U, didn't they? They walked away from those motion controllers, and look where that got them. So I don't know. Pod Culture in chat says the Super Switch. I think that would be a great name for it. I hope they name the successor better, whatever they do. I think Super Switch is the way to go. It's very clear, very plain, and you know what you're going to get with something like that. But anyway, I digress because that is going to be at least a year down the line at this point. The OLED Switch is all we got this year. Nintendo is not going to do something new for this holiday. Let's get to some comments from chat over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork. Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, Shane wants to fight people for one. Now, I'm not going to try to speak for Shane, but I do talk to him a lot. I don't think he's as, like, I think he kind of got to the point where he's like, all right, I'll get one. But it wasn't something where he was like, oh, like when it was first revealed, he was like, oh, I got to go get in line right now. Or either, I don't. And Shane, if you're out there, feel free to text or chat. But that was the impression I got anyway. Let's see. Oh, okay. I thought that was Shane texting me, and that was actually Dark Sakura saying why she went AFK. I was like, wow, that was quick. Other comments in chat. SH100 Matt says, to be fair, Nintendo has done well with their IPs, indie titles, and so forth that they don't need a Switch Pro this year or even next. See, I'm kind of with you there. Animal Crossing was bananas, and I think they're going to have another great holiday for the system they've got. SG100 Matt continues, a year ago we were talking about how Animal Crossing was the highest sold game of the pandemic. That game wasn't in 4K 120 FPS BBQ. Nintendo can strike gold again on this current hardware. Yeah, I agree. I think it would be even better if I could play Breath of the Wild in 4K. But again, I don't want to fight people for that right now. I still can't get a PlayStation 5 easily. I mean, if I really wanted to work at it and really wanted to camp on websites, like, I guess I could go and get a PlayStation 5, but, like, I don't know any other industry, maybe concert tickets, where I have to beg to buy one. Like, I will get a PlayStation 5 when I can walk into Target and pick one up off the shelf. Although, that's kind of what I did with Xbox Series X, so, you know, that's why I have one of those, so there is that.
Yeah, I'm getting so much use out of my Series X, too, so...
Yeah, I gotta be honest, I'm loving the Series X right now for meeting the needs of this current generation. That's not don't label Rob Roberts Xbox fanboy. No, I love all. I want to see everybody succeed. I'm like Mean Girls when she's splitting up the crown and wanting to give everybody a piece. Okay, that's me with the gaming industry. I want to see everybody succeed. But just as it is right now, the PlayStation 5 is kind of a pain to get, and I don't feel like there's anything. I really did want to play Returnal. That's like the first game where I was like, oh, I really need. And I think once some more of these games start coming out, like Final Fantasy 16, that's going to come out eventually, but not this year. But if it's out next holiday, oh, I'm fucking buying a PlayStation 5, because you better believe I'm playing Final Fantasy 16 when it's by the folks who did 14, which I think is probably the best Final Fantasy game they've made at this point. It's just incredible. So, let's see. Pod Culture in chat says, if I could find someone willing to pay full boat for my Mario Switch, I'd consider upgrading since I mainly play in handheld. But otherwise, nope. You might be surprised, Pod Culture. People want to still buy those old hardware things. I don't know if you've used it. It might be a little harder. You might not get the full value from it, but you never know. Take a look. Let's say SSG100 Matt says, you have better odds winning two of those PlayStation 5s on Summer Games Done Quick's giveaway. They even joke on stream most of the staff of GDQ can't get a PS5. Well, I entered because I donated at the end of the Summer Games Done Quick there yesterday. So who knows? Maybe I will be lucky enough to win one, but I'm not going to count on it. Questbuster says you can also sign up using your PlayStation account on Sony's site and for a chance at an invite, reserving your spot for you in a virtual queue. I did that like a year and a half ago. Still.
Yeah,
nothing.
I remember that back in September. Never got an email. So.
But it's honest. Oh, honestly, well, if they sent me an invite, I would just say, I don't want one right now. I don't know. I'm saving money. I can't plunk $500 on a console right now. But maybe.
Well, give it to me.
Maybe I don't have. Give me $500 and sure, I'll give you a PS5.
I would be down for that.
You're going to give me $500 and I'll get you a PS5?
Yeah, with the $500 I give you.
Okay. Oh, yeah, if I get my cordial invite. Okay, all right. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, we'll talk offline.
We'll talk.
All right. Questmaster says, I got an invite, but they ran out. So they... Oh, my God. Can you imagine getting invited to, like, Disneyland to ride a new ride or something, and then you get all the way down there, and they're like, it broke.
So is this, like, the reservation for the car from Seinfeld? You know, it's like... I don't think you understand what a reservation means.
Or it's, oh, what's the other terrible one?
When I don't know what you're talking about. I've never watched the show.
No, I can relate, though. You book a seat on a flight, and you don't actually have a seat on the flight. And then they're like, sorry, we're bumping you because we oversold the flight. It's that. Gross. Anyway.
That's when I turn into Major Karen and raise some hell.
At least we have a kitty on stream now. It's nice to see. Anyway.
He was staring me down.
Anyone here on the hosting panel considering a Nintendo OLED Switch?
No.
Okay.
No, unless the kids break mine, which is a distinct possibility.
Don't encourage them, Loki. If they overhear that,
have to encourage them. Thankfully, they've been playing mostly Roblox stuff, so they haven't really been playing the Switch, but I'm sure we'll get the new Zelda game and the remastered Zelda games, so yeah.
Hold up. Mike Deft in chat says PlayStation 5's here cost 15,000 Mexican pesos. That's about $750 USD, but at least you can find them more easily. So you mean I can walk into
I don't know what the big electronic stores are in Mexico. We'll assume we live in a world where Fry's still exist in Mexico. So I can still walk into Fry's Mexico and pick up a PlayStation 5 off the shelf. I just have to pay, like, you know, $250 extra for it, which totally goes against everything I believe in when it comes to scalpers anyway. But at least in that scenario where they're kind of importing things, it makes a little more sense. Mike Def says maybe. Wow. Wow. All right. Mm. Interesting. Tiger Claw does remind us the Switch OLED is not going to make the games play better. Sure, it has a better screen, but it's not going to improve the quality of the games. But they'll look better. That's what I
think. Not on your TV, though. It won't affect just a lick of that.
That's true. Not on your TV. And then Tiger Claw also brings up the Joy-Cons. They're the same as the original Switch, so they didn't fix the drift problem. Oh, yes. I heard somebody ask.
I think they would have learned by now.
I heard somebody ask Nintendo directly about that and got, like, a no comment in response, which means, yes, it's the same, and they haven't. How have they not fixed
it? It's the same.
That's setting themselves. Oh, that's a choice. That is a choice, Nintendo. That is a choice. All right, speaking of choices, I made a very good choice by having Alan go to Costco before the show because he put down in front of me earlier a churro from Costco. So I have a Costco churro that I'm going to chow down on while Dark Sakura tells us about her gaming week. So how was your game? What were the choices you made with your gaming week this week, Dark Sakura?
Still no Animal Crossing. Basically, it's been Dead by Daylight and Fantasian, but when I was streaming Fantasian, my internet cutout was sad. I'm really in that grindy part where I need to buff up a couple of my characters, so I may not play it on stream anymore for a little bit until I finish the buffing. So it's really been mostly Dead by Daylight. I've been participating in the event and bringing out my cake. And I have not yet gotten a 5-cake match. I got a 4-cake match, and some jackass brought escape cake, which doesn't help me at all. How very dare they? And I'm playing, you know, my Wordscapes, and of course, we have pinball going on, so that's it.
All right. Have you gotten some killer crowns?
Oh, I got all the killer crowns.
Oh, wow.
I mean, for the characters that you can get them. I did pick up a couple of Survivor perks just in case it happens. So I got, like, Live and Dead Hard because everyone either uses Live or Dead Hard. So I figured,
fair.
Huh?
Fair.
But other than that, I've just been... I got my crown on Twins, and it's enough to know that I hate playing Twins.
I haven't tried them yet.
I hate playing Blort, who will always be called Blort to me.
Oh, he is hard. He's harder than Nurse in many ways.
Yeah,
honestly.
Yeah. I mean, Nurse is just a matter of getting used to how the blinks work.
Yeah.
Which I do have to. I don't remember their names, but these. I think that they realized that I was legit a baby nurse, and it was right before Endgame collapse. A couple of survivors actually just, I could tell that's what they were doing. They were letting me practice my blinks. And I thought that was really nice. You know, usually I get nothing but, you know, sweaty, toxic survivors who like to do the butt dance and, you know, act like children.
Mm-hmm.
Which to me, I think is unnecessary and probably a skilled player shouldn't do that if they're mature.
Mm-hmm.
But at any rate, they were really nice. They just helped let me run around. They seemed to know. I got a couple of hits in. It was pretty cool. I would just let one run off and go after the other and let, you know, we just run around all of the Yamaoka estate, and it was pretty cool.
Yeah, I had some interesting matches. I was playing as Killer as well, and, you know, some were, like, I played a few Pyramid Head matches, and in one match, like, they did not want, like, it was a 5-cake match. They did not want to farm. I was like out in the middle drawing circles. I'm like, come here and let's farm. They didn't want to do it. And so, but then I got another one where some idiot DC'd right. Well, maybe it wasn't their fault, but they DC'd right when the match started. And I ended up unintentionally slugging the other three. I didn't mean to, but I picked one up and let them get out so they could go pick somebody up. And I was like, all right, we're going to farm. Then here's the punchline. So they finally get the door open. and then I get booted from the game. My thing, my game freezes, and I get DC'd. So you know how many blood points I got? Zero.
Zero.
I was so mad I didn't play DBD for the rest of the day because behavior has made a great game that runs like garbage.
You know, I did actually have an interesting match, and it was actually one of the, I think my third time playing Freddy, and I actually had a really good one. I had one DC, two kills, and I was about to get a Meg, and I closed the hatch by accident. I was going to let her go. And so she's slugged, no one to heal her, and I can't open the gate. Once the apparently once the hatch is closed, you can't open the gate.
Right.
So what I did is I picked her up and ran around until she got down. And then we went and hung back over by the gate so I could let her out. Oh, yeah. She could let herself out.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was that also had like one of the most annoying Dwights ever. And it was great hanging that guy. All right, I'm done.
All right. Enough Dead by Daylight. Let's go to somebody who doesn't play that game. Let's go to Loki. Loki, how was your game?
I don't play that game.
You don't play that game. What do you play?
It's just Minecraft. So that's what I've been doing. Just still playing on the server. Mainly this week was just finishing up the design of the build that I'm going to be working on here pretty soon. I think also gathering resources for that as well. So there was actually a lot of mining being done. And harassing the server admins about our spawn rates because we've had an issue, and I brought it up in my last video, where no mobs are spawning, which kind of makes it hard to run a mob farm that requires those mobs to be spawning. And so it's been like fixed and broken all throughout the week. So I think it's now finally actually working again, but that kind of put a lot of my plans I had to like make other mob farms on hold for a while. Also, with my new shop they have, which sells axolotls, they have the rare blue one, which prior to 117.1, you could actually just find those in the wild. And so I was actually planning on building a upgraded farm to farm those, because otherwise you have to breed them, and it's like a 1 in 1,200 chance of getting one. And it's a real pain in the ass to do that, so... Unfortunately, now that we've updated the 117.1, that is my only option, so I'm going to raise the price on those. But yeah, it's mainly been just Minecraft. So now I'm finally getting to the point where I'm going to start that build for my new video. Had to terraform a bunch of stuff, so that's taken a long time because it's a massive build. It's like 40 blocks by 42 and I think 70 tall. It's just this massive factory. So I'm going to be doing that, and then I don't know from there. I've been trying to get more people involved with like doing streaming or like content creation, but it's like it's not happening, which is very disappointing. Especially, not to complain, but I'm going to. We had somebody leave our server, and apparently they're an admin or they run their own another SMP. And the guy started off his brand new YouTube channel. It's already getting like 1,000 views per video. Just a brand new thing, which is frustrating when you have a hermit from Hermitcraft in your episode and you can't pull more than 200 views. A little frustrating. So I will keep at it.
Stick at it. You never know the one that's going to catch fire. You just have to stick with it. That's all it is.
Well, it's hard because... I got to put the cat down. It's hard...
Jesus, put the cat in a video. Dead. I bet you'll get a lot of hits for that.
Oh, gosh.
Stella plays Minecraft.
Shedding like crazy. So it's hard because like a server like that where you have a lot of people on that server actually doing content creation, they share their audience. And so each person may bring in like 100 people or so, and then you're sharing audiences, and that's how you grow organically. That was the hope when I joined the server that, oh, hey, there's multiple people making content. And when I came on, that was the case. There's a few people had a couple episodes. Now there's nobody. It's just like, it's just me. And so the only audience I can grow is the people that are on the server watching themselves. And then maybe anybody else I can try to like get in with advertising on a bunch, like on different Discords. Like I'm on a bunch of the Hermit's Discords, so they have like media sharing things. So I post in there, I post in forums, I post on Twitter, social media, like everywhere. And it's just nothing. Like, well, it's just nothing. But I'm gonna keep at it. It's just it's frustrating.
It. Change your server if it doesn't. If everybody abandoned ship, then you
yeah.
Know,
but
you
I can't. I don't want to right now. Just because they like the other server, it would have like had that server been in existence at the time, I probably would have joined something like that. But there's like so many. It's hard to say like how it would have even gone. But we'll see. I just am a little frustrated seeing like because not to like dog on like people and in the quality of their content, but like. His video was bad. His audio was terrible. And yeah, he's pulling in 900 views on this first video. It's like, that's frustrating. Like, that is absolutely frustrating.
Aren't you used to it by now from this podcast? Like, I'm not.
You
I'm
would
not,
think. You
I'm
know,
not
you
saying
think,
we're a
like,
high quality
no,
podcast or anything, but
no, I
I've
get
heard
it.
Some
I get
of the
it.
Ones that have caught fire. I will never forget the one I listened to. And this is a very popular show. And no, I'm not going to name it because I am not that kind of person. But. I listen to it and I'm like, this guy sounds like he's being held prisoner and doesn't want to be here talking about these retro games. This guy does not sound like he wants to be here at all. And I was so bored because he was bored and it was like infectious and all that stuff. So I don't understand sometimes how some of these like bigger names and things that catch fire do as well as they do. So
yeah. And I don't know either.
We're lucky
it's
to
just,
have what we have. And I do mean that.
We do. I understand that. I just wish the community that I played with would stop leaving the server, and I wish that they would actually play and, like, chat, because, like, this entire week when I was playing, there was nobody on. And I get it, like, 4th of July holiday and stuff like that, probably people were gone during the week or vacationing during the summer, but, like, nobody was on. It was just me, period. Like, it's starting to look like the VOG Minecraft server for a while, you know, where it's just, like, started off, we got like a few people playing and you know, it was like doing all that and then nobody. So it's like
I need a button for that hard. Shade sound from RuPaul's Drag Race.
I have a button actually.
It's frustrating. I wish we got more engagement. I wish we had more people playing and stuff like that. And I know like I get individuals on the server reaching out saying, hey, you know, if we want to do voice chat, we can do that or something like that. But like these people are never on. I don't know. We'll see. I just have to. I'm sticking with it for now, but like it's getting frustrating.
For what it's worth, you have some nice folks in chat. Bobby Blackwell says, you're the only Minecraft YouTuber I watch. And Mike Deft uses the arrow to kind of indicate the same thing there. She-Hulk suggests get a cat cam and the money will pour in. That's what I'm saying, yo. And again, so get a cat cam or a hot tub. There, hot tub Minecraft stream, Loki.
I gotta sink money in for a hot tub.
Why don't you build a hot tub in Minecraft and call it your Minecraft hot tubs video?
Okay.
And then make the thumbnail something completely different.
Well, it's like on TikTok, my two highest videos is one where I'm watching Asuka, you know, a WWE talk about her TikTok channel.
Uh-huh.
And one of me petting Midna.
Okay, I'm a little older, so I just turned 43. I'm having a hard time understanding the Tic Tac, but all I know is that somebody...
I'm older than you.
Somebody told me to start one the last time I was at Rocky Horror, so pre-pandemic, and I did a really dumb little video on there. It has like 550 views. I'm like, okay, for like not... I was like, so maybe I need to explore the Tic Tacs. A little more
I've
or something.
I've been putting up like some of my my clips from my channel.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes I'll like set them to an intro outro with some of my own music on it.
I've seen some of that come through my feed actually. So it gets seen. Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, I joined TikTok. I haven't posted yet. I'm telling you, Bobby, post that little rap that you did or Micro Machines spiel that you did at Games Done Quick on TikTok, and that would probably get a lot of views. Although, to be fair, since it's really about the charity, I don't know if Games Done Quick runs a TikTok, but maybe they should have it. But I that would spread, I bet, because that was really good.
All right. So well, I'll stop complaining. But like, yeah. So that video hopefully will be coming very soon, depending on how long it takes to build this thing, because it's big, but it's pretty cool. I thought.
And this is J100 Matt giving some advice, saying if your goal is to get rich quick with YouTube, it's going to take a while and a lot of dedication. Just got to keep grinding and you will get the hits. The key is posting consistently. Well, not to speak for Loki because he's right there, but I don't think it's about getting rich quick. I think it's just about can we find some new people to, you know, can we get more, you know, people to see this stuff? It's about visibility, I guess, maybe a better word.
Yeah, so. It's visibility. Yeah, that, I'm not looking to get rich. I mean, that's not going to happen anytime soon. No, it's just to get visibility. I want to see like more organic growth. I'm trying to post consistently. I think I need to scale. Well, over scoping again, you know, I need to scale back the project size. Yeah, me. Yeah. But I've been trying to like do like stuff that's interesting, you know, and I get it a lot. It depends on the style. Like there's some people that will do large builds each video. There's some people that will just like kind of more old school where it's like, okay, and I'm wandering around. It depends though. Like I have to do large builds because I have no one to interact with. That's why. Mm-hmm. If it was just like, I'm going to goof off with this person, then yeah, I could do that. But you have to have other people to interact with in order to be able to do that type of content. Since I don't have that, and it's just all me, I've got to build big things.
Well, if somebody wants to goof off with Loki in Minecraft and have some fun, hit him up on Twitter at LokiOLR.
Yes, and we'll have you join the server. There you go. There's people coming in every day.
There's got to be somebody listening here who still plays Minecraft who would enjoy just spending an hour playing with you and doing stupid, you know, builds, building the hot tub in Minecraft.
Hot tub, yeah.
All right. My gaming week. So I already played Dead by Daylight. I talked about that. I've been playing more Final Fantasy 14 because, of course, this is me. They just released a benchmark for Endwalker, the next expansion. That was some big news from this weekend that I don't think is on our show roll. You can check that out on the official Final Fantasy 14 website if you just want to play around with the character creator. So I've actually made my male Viera, or my boy bunny, who I've decided, well, should I say that? No, I'm not going to say the name. I'm going to have to wait because I need to make sure I can get the name before I say it, because sometimes people will steal it. But I have a really good name picked out. We'll have that. And my character looks really cool. So I like the benchmark. And otherwise, still just trying to get all my characters to 80 before the expansion comes out in Final Fantasy 14. If I ever played one,
I'd name her Little Bunny Fufu.
Walking through the forest, scooping up the
field. Picking
right, anyway.
Up field, pop him on the head.
That's good. I like that. All right. I found another game to play this week, and it's just I don't know how I found this game all by myself, completely unprovoked or told that I should check this out just out of the blue. I found myself checking out Yakuza Like a Dragon. I checked out on Xbox Game Pass. Okay, obviously I'm saying that very tongue-in-cheek because people have been yelling at me for a very long time that I need to A, play the Yakuza series, B, specifically this entry in the Yakuza series. So I finally, around the 4th of July holiday, downloaded it because finally the bandwidth rolled over. And since we were out of town for a couple days, we didn't use bandwidth. So I was like, okay, this is a good time for me to download Yakuza. So I did, and I've been playing it a lot since the 4th. I'm already like 10 hours into the game. I'm somewhere into like chapter 4 at this point. And I'm having a good time. Like it's I was not prepared for, I knew that Yakuza was very story heavy. I wasn't really prepared for how story heavy it is. I was very like, wow, there is like a lot going on here. And there's a lot of, especially in the first chapter, it's a lot of just watching. It's got like a very Persona kind of intro where it's like, or Kingdom Hearts 2. You're just watching cutscene after cutscene after cutscene with like maybe three battles in the entire chapter. But it wasn't bad. Like I found myself kind of like fascinated, like, ooh, what's going on? What's going to happen? Ooh, what's, you know, and all this. There's already like twists and things like that happening. So, yeah, I'm not going to spoil anything. But yes, I played enough to get to chapter 4 where things start to open up and there's side quests. And because this is a Sega game or whatever, there's some crazy ass side quests. Like I laughed my ass off. There's one where you get in a little bicycle and you drive around collecting cans, and it's like a little racer game that's built into it. I haven't really dinked around at the Sega arcades or pachinko machines, but I know that's a full other thing too that's in the game. And then, there's just like all these weird little side things that you can do that's pretty cool. The game is dirty as hell. Like, this is basically an NC-17 rated Final Fantasy game, is what it is. It's Final Fantasy 15 and that bro quest if it was NC-17 rated is kind of what it is, honestly. It's dirty, it's violent. It's got sex all over it. And everything
that sounds boring.
There's violence and a lot of uses of the F word as well. It's everything. All the nasty stuff.
That part's not boring.
Yeah, all the nasty stuff you can think of, it's there. Bobby Blackwolf in chat says it's a Japanese crime drama continually interrupted by episodes of The Simpsons. That's a very good way of putting it. So on my Twitter, I put a game capture because like I was doing a side quest and I was like, look, I've hosted the Rocky Horror Picture Show for like years and years and years. I've done a lot of, you know, other cult cinema. I've even hosted Horror Movie Fest and everything. It takes a lot to like make me go, what the fuck is this? But there was a scene that happened in Yakuza where I was like, what the fuck is this? Like, what in the action? This is in my video game. This is happening. And it was basically a side quest.
In this economy?
Yeah. It was a side quest where you hear like a baby crying. And so it's a really short quest. And this does not spoil the main story whatsoever. If you are really going to be hurt that I'm spoiling one tiny little side quest, then I'm sorry.
That was also done in a speed run.
So what happened on the side quest? You hear a baby cry. No, this is not Rugby Baby. That's a different Yakuza game.
Oh, that was different. Okay.
Yeah. There's a baby crying upstairs or something, and you have a guy who has baby formula. Long story short, you decide you're going to take the baby formula up to the crying baby, but you need hot water. So the side quest is you got to go to the cafe, get the hot water, come back, and then you go upstairs, and you find out that the babies that are crying are grown men, and they're wearing diapers, and they're being... It's a fetish studio or something that you just walked in and crashed. And because these guys happen to be rival Yakuza, then the surprise in the side quest is these babies want to kick your ass, basically. So you have to fight these man babies. And then at the end, you get to make a very BioWare-esque choice on do you want to run out of there? Do you want to tell them off or whatever? Or do you want to join them and have a bottle together with them? And so, of course, I picked the option where I wanted to have a bottle with them, and the screen just fades to black at that point. So there was that. And Bobby Blackwell says, yes, and then he becomes a summon. So that is a whole other thing, is that instead of summons like Final Fantasy, you have people you call on your phone that show up for money and kick people's ass. And so man baby fetish dude is one of the people that you can call when you're in trouble. Let's see. Mike Defton chat says that's an actual thing in Japan. Not just Japan.
Oh, did you see my response?
Yes, I did. There's a website called Craigslist, and sadly not anymore, but there's other where one website goes down, others go up. So yes,
there's places. There's some kink websites out there that are for networking, and yes, it's a thing.
And look, I'm not here to shame nobody and what they want to do consensually behind closed doors. I just was not expecting to see that in a video game. Like, you know, there's a lot of plot twists, and I can call a lot of plot twists. That was not a plot twist I was prepared for, okay? That's just all I'm saying. But yeah, whatever you want to do consensually, behind closed door, y'all's business. That is y'all. All right. Anyway. So that's my long story about my experience with Yakuza Like a Dragon, but I am enjoying it, and the story is good. And yeah, now I'm curious to go back and check out other Yakuza games. Although I hear that the other game, 0 through 6, is it? And this would kind of be 7, I guess. So 0 through 6 are like beat 'em ups. So they're different. Yeah. But I think the main part of it with the crazy story twists and the things I'm talking about, that part is still all the same. It's just the actual what happens when you get in the encounters with bad dudes is a little bit crazy.
Didn't a couple of them have Kitano Takeshi doing some roles?
I think so. I think he's in that Rugby Baby scene.
Yeah, he was, but yeah. He's also been like one of his big claims to fame was doing, you know, Yakuza movies.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah. So
Anyway, it's a fascinating game. Actually, Jamie, if you could, you know, just look away at some of the nasty stuff. Well, you're a grown adult. You can look right at it. But it's just one of those things where it's like, I think if you can kind of get through some of the weird shit, there's a lot of lore in the game. And I know you love lore, and there's a lot to the story there. There's some interesting shit in it. So I got to say, it might be worth your time, especially if you have Game Pass. It's worth checking out. So,
yeah, and I don't really touch our PS4.
Oh, this is on Xbox. I'm playing on Xbox, but yeah.
I don't have a new Xbox. Oh. The last one I have was a 360.
I don't. Yeah, it's not on 360. Bummer. I don't know if it's on PC.
I honestly, I haven't cared. I'll be honest.
Well,
that's not the kind of game I'm into.
I put it off for a long time too, and then I was like, "Oh, this is kind of finding fun." Oh, PC version is coming. Got it.
Well, who's on a PC? I'm not.
That's right. I keep forgetting you. You still play stuff through.
I'm going to put it this way.
Hmm.
I don't even like to watch many Yakuza movies.
All right, fair enough.
It's not something I am interested in at all. But thank you.
But to clarify for others out there who may be curious, Mike Def does say it is on xCloud, so their version of that. So that would allow you to play it on pretty much any device there. So interesting. Yeah, Questbuster says the protagonist 0-6 is more serious. His persona only makes the bizarre side quests and activities even better. That would be my one read on the game, is my one little thing is that I do get very frustrated that the main character is, to put it bluntly, like an idiot, a dumbass. He's completely, and I get very frustrated sometimes when I'm watching these cutscenes where I'm like, let me
it's
have
like
a dialogue
option
here.
Like playing a human bowling ball?
What?
Like playing a human bowling
pretty
ball?
Pretty much. He gets very frustrating in some situations, but my hope is, because I'm because I already kind of see it a little bit, that I'm early on in the game, I'm supposed to get irritated with that, but then there's like redemption towards the end of the game where, you know, he becomes a lot more tolerable. But that's the one little thing where I'm like, anyway. All right, yeah, SG100 Matt says Ichiban's the lovable idiot. I guess.
Name is number one.
Yeah. Yeah, and people call him out on that in game two, which is really funny. They're like, no, really, what's your name?
Interesting.
It does get funny. All right, anyway, enough about that game. Let's talk about other stuff. Ooh, actually, before we get into other news, I do want to – I've shouted it out like four times now, but I want to give officially a shout-out to Vogue Network's own Bobby Blackwolf and all the other folks behind the scenes who made Summer Games Done Quick, that speedrunning marathon, happen. They raised right around $2.9 million for Doctors Without Borders, a wonderful charity, and just lots of great speedruns that were played throughout the week. And, of course, as you've been hearing on Vogue Network throughout the past few weeks, Bobby Blackwolf, he's one of the hosts during the event, so he's reading donations and things. And he was the host with the very last thing that you saw, which was that Kingdom Hearts 2 speed run where they ran that entire game. I think it was about 3 hours 12 minutes when all was said, and I think the estimate was 3 hours 15 minutes, and it got in right under the estimate. And it was really
and
impressive.
The Sephiroth battle and that other
yes.
one.
Yeah, there were those extra battles that he did too, which were really all at level one, which was the fascinating thing too. And it was great to watch some of the donations come in and hear some of those getting read, because my favorite donation that was read, they were trying to do the incentive to unlock that Sephiroth battle, and somebody donated as Sephiroth and said, 1v1 me. I thought that was really funny.
And then the second one that says, never mind, don't, can I have my money back?
I did. I heard that one too. That was funny. But I laughed out loud when I heard that whole 1v1 me, you won't.
Yeah, Dan and I had a laugh.
That was pretty good. So, great job. Great speed runs. It was a good time. So, looking forward to Awesome Games Done Quick, which maybe they're going to do in person. They're kind of not committing to that yet, which I completely understand. Mm-hmm. Because they got to see how things play out in the coming months, I'm sure. It is on their radar to try to get it back in person in January, which they kind of mentioned there at the end. So that'd be great if that can happen. So
yeah, Dan and I did our donation last night. It didn't get read, but I understand, you know, it happens.
It happens.
But I did say that I love games that have Tron levels in them.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Nice.
I was waiting the whole thing for the Tron level, and it was like over in 5 minutes. Like,
yeah. I did have a donation read last night, but
like the first year I didn't have mine read. So it just depends on what gets through and what doesn't. And you know, it all happens. All right. If you want to hear more about the behind-the-scenes stuff on what they're looking for and all that stuff, I will send you over to the Bobby Blackwolf show and give his show a nice cheap plug there, which comes on live right before us here at Vogue Network. Or, of course, he has a robust podcast archive with lots of stories behind the scenes and all of that as well over at the Bobby Blackwolf show.
Okay, and I want to give Bobby a thank you, by the way.
Oh,
for,
yeah.
For doing the debut of my little remix, my Sanic.
So there's another reason to check out a show this week. You'll hear a lot about Summer Games Done Quick, and you get to hear that world premiere of your Sanic Green Hill Zone remix,
love the Green Hill Zone music so much that I wanted to pretty much keep it like as the Green Hill Zone music, but enhanced, if that makes sense.
It's a Green Hill Zone OLED version.
No.
All right.
Green Hill Zone Pro.
It was good. All right. Let's move on. Let's get into some other gaming news and what else is going on in the gaming world. Loki, we'll start with you.
Yeah. So there was actually one of those PlayStation State of Plays this week as well. And we got to see some more footage of different games, some that we already knew were coming. For example, we have a date now for the Death Stranding Director's Cut, which is going to be September 24th. And they kind of showed off some new modes in there as well, including a racing mode. And also they announced that there's going to be a $10 upgrade if you have the PlayStation 4 version already, and that cross saves will be supported. So that's kind of cool. More footage of Deathloop. I mean, we see that almost every single time. So that game still looks cool. Lost Judgment looks awesome, since we were just talking about Yakuza. Really looking forward to checking that one out when that comes out. What else? We had a new trailer for Jet, which looks interesting. Jet the Far Shore. It's kind of like a sci-fi adventure game. Fist, which, you know, it's funny. It's like I have this game confused with, there's another one that just came out about like anthropomorphic animals and stuff like that in like a post-apocalyptic setting. I actually thought the one that came out now was this game already, but this is a little bit different. This is actually coming out now on PlayStation 4 and 5 and on September 7th. It's a side scroller game, but it looks pretty awesome. It's about this like rabbit character with this giant mechanical fist that he fights with.
So it's not Watership Down.
No, not Watership Down. Unless Watership Down was like part Bionic Commando. I mean, that's what kind of
Watership
looks like.
Down, the fighting game.
So, but it looks really cool. So this looks much better than the one that just came out. A new hero shooter called Arcadegeddon. And that's something that was actually out now in early access. So you can check that out. And there's a new Moss game coming out. So Moss Book 2, which was a game that was originally out on the PlayStation VR. So now that's getting a sequel, which is pretty cool. They showed Tribes of Midgard a little bit, and a new game called Hunter's Arena Legends, which is another battle royale game. What else? Demon Slayer, I don't even know how to pronounce this, the Hinokami Chronicles. And yeah, I think that's about it.
I noticed
Sifu Flight Club. That was another game, but that's been delayed till 2022. But I know that's something that showed off before. Looks a lot like what was the other? I don't remember the name of the game now, but yeah, it looks familiar.
I noticed that even though we had, you know, a lot of kind of newer IPs and newer ideas, and maybe not AAA games, but still, you know, they're games that are on their way out, and, you know, a lot of them look fun. I still noticed that the State of Play kind of got a very meh reaction from people online, but I think this is a case of gamers were setting their expectations a little too high, because I don't know how the fuck this started that people were saying, oh, Final Fantasy 16 has to show up in the State of Play. I think people were kind of making the jump. Because Sony didn't do an E3 presentation, this is Sony's E3 presentation.
Oh, yeah.
Therefore,
I don't think that
they must show Final Fantasy 16. That's where the logic train was going
on social media, and this really is not what Sony, like, again, Sony said it was going to be Deathloop footage and some other things. If they were going to show Final Fantasy 16, that would they were not going to bury that lead, right?
Well, so, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And also, like, I think these are, like, monthly that they do these state of plays. I'm pretty sure that they did one before E3 as well.
They've been doing them more regularly than Nintendo Directs, to be quite honest.
I had no expectations.
Unless you count
into
the unless you count the indies. If you count the indies, then they're about the same, probably.
Sure, but like I don't know, it was fine. I had no expectations of it. I definitely wasn't expecting them to announce any major new titles, but
yeah,
I'm a Deathloop is cool and all, but like I don't. I feel like we're kind of getting into, you know,
No Man's Sky territory.
No Man's, not necessarily No Man's Sky, but like Last of Us 2 and stuff. Like, where it's just like we're just shoving the footage down your throat. It's like, okay, dude, I've seen Deathloop. I get the concept of the game. Yeah, it looks cool. I don't need to see 10 minutes of footage every single state of play.
Yeah.
Like, it's a little, like, I get it. It's going to be awesome. But I don't need to see it every time. Like, we could have cut that 10 minutes short or, like, spent 10 minutes promoting something else, you know?
Yep. Yeah, I think there is such thing as, like, too much promotion. Although Sony did warn you. But I think I would say that, you know, if Sony wanted to do a deep dive on Deathloop, then have a state of play or whatever be only that. I think maybe the problem there was that they said it was going to be Deathloop and other stuff. So because that other stuff was so vague, even though I don't think anybody should have set their bar for Final Fantasy 16, you know, if you want to see indies or you want to see, you know, what are some new games that are PlayStation, you know, you're going to tune in and then it's like, oh, I have to sit through more of this game I've already seen a million times. I already pre-ordered it, you know, but I guess for other people it's hype, you know. If it was Final Fantasy 16, I'd probably be sitting there gobbling up each and every minute with a spoon. So people are into what they're into. But I also... Speaking of that, coincidentally, there was an interview very recently. I think it was actually maybe during the live stream they were doing for Final Fantasy 14. Naoki Yoshida, who's the producer-director of 14, as you all know, is also going to be overseeing 16 because Creative Unit 3 is working on both. And he did say a little bit about 16, and he did say, I think he, I don't want to misquote him, but it was something along the lines of, they may not be at Tokyo Game Show. Because they don't want to show the game again until basically it's ready. And I'm kind of like another example of how Naoki Yoshida just like gets it. Like he just, they've announced it and now he doesn't want to do the continuous hype for the game. He just wants to, when it's ready, here's the launch trailer type of thing. And then go come out swinging. And I think that's a brilliant way to do it. But should also kind of set people's expectations. Now, he said that after the state of play, but that should also kind of set people's expectations that, like, you're not going to see Final Fantasy 16 until they're ready to tell you what day it's coming out.
Well, yeah, and it's also, it makes sense because it's probably a lot of work for them to keep building vertical slices to show off in different trailers of the game. Just let them develop it without having to constantly put something out that, you know, the public can consume.
For sure. All right, let's move on and talk about something that will probably not surprise anybody, but the fact that they are doing another Assassin's Creed game. But it might surprise you how this got unveiled. Assassin's Creed Infinity is the new game that is coming out, and it was leaked out, actually, at first. So what happened is that Bloomberg, oh, you kids at Bloomberg, here you go again. But this one they got right. So they reported that there is a new entry in the Assassin's Creed series. It was going to be a live service game. So it kind of cornered Ubisoft into actually confirming this. It is called Assassin's Creed Infinity internally. So I'm sorry, I didn't say that specifically earlier. This is a code name, so it may not be the actual name of the game. It's going to be a collaboration between Ubisoft Montreal and Quebec. And Ubisoft in a blog post said, rather than continuing to pass the baton from game to game, we profoundly believe this is an opportunity for one of Ubisoft's most beloved franchises to evolve in a more integrated and collaborative manner. There's really no other details from this. So Ubisoft did not respond to anything else that was in the Bloomberg report, including that whole live service. So that part also still is a rumor at this time.
such as Grand Theft Auto V, Anthem, those types of games. Usually, of course, Assassin's Creed games are single player, even though they're full of DLC. So this would be a little bit different. The Bloomberg Report.
This isn't their first. Yeah, they have like almost all of their games are like live service games nowadays. You know, with what all of their Tom Clancy games.
Right.
I mean, they've got so many live service games. It's kind of yuck. Also, Ubisoft is yuck because, you know, they basically don't address any of the harassment that's going on in their company.
I was actually going to follow up with that and kind of say that, yeah, there's all this news on Assassin's Creed Infinity, but the deal breaker for a lot of people here is that there's still a lot of really bad stuff, trademark patent pending, coming out of Ubisoft that seems to show that they perhaps are not addressing some of these issues that have been brought to light prior. And that is very disappointing. And at this point, I'm starting to wonder if Yves Guillemot is much longer for the company, because this is clearly a problem that's trickling down from the top. Of course, I have sat here and said all these CEOs need to be fired. Not all of them, but a lot of them do. And it doesn't seem to happen because I guess the money keeps coming in. So I could sit here all day and go, Yves Guillemot needs to go, and it probably is not going to happen. However, it probably should. So if you want us to take some of these, and it does suck because, of course, at the end of the day, there's a lot of people working very hard on this who are not a part of all of that, who are just trying to do what they want to do for a living, and that is make a fun video game. And they're not a part of all that. So it really sucks that, you know, all this other stuff brings it down. But that also highlights the reason why a figure like Yves Guillemot needs to go.
Hmm.
Yeah.
If he really likes his employees, he'll resign. Let's see. DJ Rama S in chat says, friend of mine works at Ubisoft. She helped worked on, I'm going to redact that just, so that nobody can be identified. I hope she doesn't have to deal with this BS. I hope not either. And again, like I said, hopefully there's many people within the company who, again, are just trying to make a good video game and see out their passion of, designing video games for a living. So it sucks that this has to exist from the company, or that this exists within the company. And that's why it is the responsibility of the management and the boardroom and the shareholders at this point to cut that out surgically without anesthesia. It has gone on too long. Get in there. Get it out. Pod Culture says, fire them all and start over. Mike Def says, Ubisoft, but not really Ubisoft. More like a subsidiary of them, which I think would be Game Loft. I think talking about something else. Sorry. Let's see. Zen Monkey says, just do Battle Royale Assassin's Creed and call it a day. Ubisoft likes to make their solo play games always online, so why not? Zen Monkey says also, Assassin's Creed should do what Grand Theft Auto 5 Online is doing, just do an online mode and milk it for a few years. They honestly don't know what to do with those games. Grand Theft Auto 5, a few years? Grand Theft Auto 5 has been going on for it's going to be a few decades by the time they pull the plug on that. Right, Loki?
Right.
Yeah, it's been 8 years now, or almost 8 years.
It's they're not going to pull the plug on that anytime soon. I'm just razzing you, and obviously you had a great comment there. I'm just poking fun. Zen Monkey says, "Yeah, more like a decade." Okay, we agree then. All right. Speaking of decades and decades, let's throw it back with our next story, Dark Sakura.
So, I don't know if anyone remembers this because it's been about 20 years rumored, you know, now. But does anyone remember having heard of the SNK Millennium? It was supposed to be a console that SNK was working on, in theory, to complete with the Dreamcast. And it had been mentioned the rumors came out around 1999. And there was even some mention of it, that, like, a couple of statements that there was a home console SNK was working on. But someone believes that they found a SNK motherboard that may have belonged to what was becoming the system. Anthony Bacon, who runs a YouTube channel called Video Game Esoterica, did some digging with this PC motherboard and found that it was supposed to be the successor to the Hyper Neo Geo 64. But it doesn't really do a whole lot. It has like a very rudimentary BIOS that has the word zombie repeatedly in the code. Maybe that was like a work name, I guess.
Maybe.
You know, work in progress.
Mm-hmm.
Project name. But with this one, yeah, like the president of SNK at the time referenced that they were working on the SNK Millennium. And there were some rumors in magazines. It's going to license existing CPU technology married to a Matrix graphics card. Anyway, what he has here is a board that is dated early 1998. And I'm just looking at some of the pieces on it just to see... this was right before they had to sell the rights to Playmore. So anyway, the board takes power, doesn't do a lot else. The BIOS has like a bunch of just gibberish in it except for the word zombies in plain text every so often. But there's no games, no files, no software development kit, no documentation. If it runs, they don't know what operating system it would run. It does use a Hitachi SH4 CPU. They think it might just, you know, run like a hello world message, and then that's about it. But it is, though, a nod back to an earlier portion of SNK's history. So maybe one day some information will come out about it. Maybe someone will step in and go, hey, I know what this is. But right now all we have is a kind of a unworking motherboard SNK made.
This must have been pulled and stopped working on really, really early on for so little to really exist on it. But it is interesting to think, you know, well, they were thinking that direction. And maybe, you know, especially because, you know, consoles take so long to develop. You know, PlayStation, Sony's working on PlayStation 6 right now. It's just, yeah. You know, it's just a matter of, you know, that maybe
if
really,
we're looking
really early on, they were doing
in
that.
In 98, 99, this would have been close to the time when the Dreamcast launched in Japan.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, because... The U.S. release was in 99,
right.
September 99.
9999,
right. Yep. So it seems to me that they were really thinking ambitiously, maybe ahead of themselves.
Perhaps.
And we know where that, you know, left the company ended up.
Hmm.
I mean, I think that it's only more in recent years that SNK has, you know, done a pretty decent recovery.
Right. Well, we'll see if maybe somebody will spill the deets on what was going on there. But probably sadly, we're never going to see a game, I bet. I don't think it was really ready for that. But you never know. You never know.
Yeah.
All right. Moving on. Let's talk about our next story, Loki.
Yes, as if this was any surprise, but we knew that once the acquisition of Bethesda by Microsoft happened, that all exclusive deals with Bethesda titles on Sony platforms were definitely in question. I know with, like, for example, the next Elder Scrolls game that will be exclusive on the Xbox platforms as far as consoles go. Well, now, of course, the one title that they are touting over and over, Deathloop, is only going to be exclusive on PlayStation for 1 year. So September 14, 2022, it'll be out on the Xbox platforms as well. But at least they have that 1 year
allegedly
exclusivity. Allegedly, yes.
On Game Pass, allegedly.
Yeah. So we'll see. I'm not surprised, really, if that's the case.
Well, most of these exclusive agreements really are for just 1 year. In fact, you know, kind of going to another Sony exclusive still for now, that Final Fantasy VII Remake. I think many people expected that we would see that on Microsoft's platform now that it's been a year. But then, oh, now we have the PlayStation 5 version and that, you know, Yuffie DLC that possibly possibly extended the deal or something. We don't really know. You know, we don't know all the ins and outs of how that worked, but it's not on Xbox yet. Now, that story doesn't involve a Microsoft-owned company like the Deathloop thing does now. So I think it's all but certain Deathloop will show up on Xbox eventually. But it is interesting to kind of hear the specifics on when, you know, and you got to wonder if that's going to make some people wait. I don't know. I don't, you know, do we know how many like PlayStation 5s versus Xbox X's are out there? I felt like I heard that there's more PlayStation 5s, but I don't know if that's just because it's adding Japan into it where we know Microsoft is a non-factor. Like, I don't know. Is it pretty even here in the US or is PlayStation still ahead? I don't.
Yeah, I have no idea. Honestly, like, I don't know, and it's not really a factor for me, though, because we can't get PlayStation 5s, and there's
a
handful of games that are exclusive on there that look pretty awesome, but, like, I mean, I was looking forward to the next Elder Scrolls game, so I'm glad I have an Xbox. Well, I have a PC, too. I guess I could definitely play it on that, but, like,
You do bring up an interesting point, though, where it's, like, that exclusive window kind of dwindles down when you consider that everybody who wants a PS5 still can't get one. And so it makes that window even smaller for when people finally do get a PS5, if you know what I mean.
True. And then Deathloop Balls is also going to be available on PC. So it's really just we're talking console exclusivity. So if you want to play it, you mean you can play it on PC as well.
And I guess to be fair, Series X's aren't exactly easy to come by either. My understanding is they are also having a hard time staying in stock and so forth. And I think that's why my brain kind of goes, I think they're selling more PlayStations because I feel like most people that wanted an Xbox got one by now.
But I mean, with Games Pass and then XCloud and stuff like that.
We have to remember Microsoft's playing a different game now. That's right. Yeah, it's very true.
So, I mean, we'll have to see what happens.
So I do want to take a small tangent, and I did mention this in chat a little bit.
Yeah, sure.
I'm wondering how future acquisitions and mergers like this are going to go down under the new executive order.
Ooh, I haven't given it much thought.
It was the first thing I thought about when I saw the buyouts, and you know, when the executive order was announced, and I was reading through it, and I was like, "This is really going to stop some of these big video game companies from acquiring the smaller guys, just absorbing them."
I'm sure they'll find loopholes. Find loopholes.
I'm not familiar enough with the executive order to admittedly. I heard that it was going on, and I was certainly interested in the parts that talked about net neutrality and getting that back and everything. But
it seemed like it was meant to close a lot of those loopholes that people have been getting through lately.
What if it was a Japanese company, though?
That wouldn't. Well, it would affect business dealings in the U.S. Mm-hmm. This is though. I mean, but Microsoft is a U.S. company.
True. True.
So it would certainly affect them.
I guess my brain goes to all those, you know, people that love to have those rumors about Microsoft's going to buy a Japanese company with all these buyouts they keep doing. They're going to buy Konami. You hear that, you know, way too often.
Sure, Konami would love someone to buy them, but, you know.
Well, so the other awesome thing, though, is the whole elimination of internet cancellation fees, and that one's really big for me.
Mm-hmm.
So that there'll be better competition for internet providers, so people can get basically access to better internet.
Oh, so companies can't lock you into 2-year agreements anymore?
I think that it's if they do have a contract for it, that what they can charge you would be greatly reduced.
Interesting.
And that they have to be 100% transparent for each area, what their services entail and all of the costs.
Hmm. I should read up on this. I'm not.
You should absolutely read up on it. Yeah. I'll find you the link.
Yeah. I also can Google. I am one of those people who doesn't need someone else to Google it for me. So believe it or not.
Well, I wanted to put a link in the chat anyway.
Yeah, fair enough. All right. Okay, let's move on. Let's talk about the next story, which I'm sorry, there's a misspelling there on the sidebar. Let's talk about The Witcher 3, not Wither 3. That's a different game. Sorry about that.
No, that's how people feel in front of that actor. Withered.
Okay.
In the loins.
I was just making a pun. All right. Anyway, so let's talk about Witcher 3 DLC. Yes, Witcher 3, I think many of us thought that game is done. They're not going back to it. Why would they? Cyberpunk is all the rage now. So why would they go back to The Witcher 3? Well, guess what? They are going back to The Witcher 3. They're going to be doing a free next-gen update later this year. So that'll be kind of nice. I imagine they're not going to totally, you know, revamp everything, but they'll probably just make it run a little better on the maybe better frame rate, maybe some better textures or something, lighting, ray tracing maybe on the new consoles. We'll see. But this is all part of WitcherCon. They did announce that there will be a free next gen update. So that is kind of cool too, is that, you know, because many of you probably picked up The Witcher 3 for like $20 for everything, or god, maybe even cheaper at some point. So it'll be a free upgrade, and there's going to be DLC, and it's going to also be free, and it's going to be inspired by the Netflix version of the series, which is really about the books and not the games. But they didn't say a little more about like what that's all going to look like or whatever. They just say, ooh, extra items. Interesting. So, yeah, and there's actually a whole little teaser thing that says The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt Complete Edition. Extra items inspired by the Netflix series with a little Netflix logo there. So, and then I think they also dated season 2 of the Netflix series for this fall at some point, right? Sorry, I didn't catch the specific date. I'm sure somebody will shout it out in chat because I didn't really follow season 1. Sorry, it's on my to-do list. So.
Yeah, there's lots of stuff. And then they also have an anime that's coming too.
Do they really? Oh, I missed that.
Yeah.
Boy, Netflix loves their video game anime, don't they? Well, again, I guess Witcher's technically books, but we know the video games helped, that's for sure.
Yeah, I just wish the Ingress anime was good.
Yeah. True. You know, I skipped an Ingress event today to be here with y'all on the show, just because it would have been...
We appreciate your sacrifice.
Yes, thank you. Yes, there was a thing in the Bay Area, and I really wanted to go to get my badge tick, but I didn't, because I didn't want to miss the show. Actually, I probably could have made the show, but I didn't want to deal with the traffic, to be honest. So, all right. DJ Rama S in chat says, Rob, speaking of anime, did you watch Sanrio Boys yet? No, I need to. I need to. Y'all have sent me the pictures and everything. I need to see it. That's for sure. And Mike Deft, also brings this up. Mike Deft brings up Pokemon Go Fest is next weekend. And yeah, that's a pretty big deal too. I will be here for OLR because thankfully they did that. Sunday is just the raids, and I'm less like needy on those as I am the Saturday stuff where they actually have all the different Pokemon and the collection challenges and all that. They kind of made Sunday really a footnote, but we're actually going to drive into San Francisco on Saturday to play there because it'll only be like 60 some odd degrees in San Francisco on Saturday. Whereas here it's going to be like in the 90s again. So yeah. So Go Fest is Saturday. I'll be doing that, but Sunday I'll be back in time for OLR cause I'm not going to raid all day long. So all right. Let's move on. Darsagra.
Sure. So, well, hackers going to hack. People are going to try to make profit off of whatever they can. This 27-year-old guy in Japan was arrested after he was caught trying to sell modified Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild save files. He was advertising them as... quote, describing it as the strongest software and provide modded save files that would give players different improved abilities and difficult to obtain items, whatever the customer would request. He was requesting 3,500 yen, about $31, for this service. And so it was spotted by the Niigata Prefecture police. And they arrested him on July 8th for violating the unfair competition prevention law. And after he was arrested, he admitted to selling more modded saves and softwares in the past, and that he had sold about 10 million yen, about $90,000, in the last year and a half. And, well, the judicial system in Japan is quite a bit different than it is here. It's usually you're accused, you're guilty. That's how it works. So, like, with very few exceptions. So I don't know what's going to happen with this guy, if he's going to have to pay a lot of fines, if he's actually just going to go to jail or what have you. But hey, don't do it. Don't sell modded files. It's really not a new thing anyway. I mean, people have modified video game software for ages.
But Nintendo doesn't used want it. You doing that.
There's more. Nintendo actually used that law to sue a go-kart company in 2017. And a different man in Japan was arrested for selling cheats for Alliance of Valiant Arms, an online shooter. The deputy director, his name is Ozakawa. He's of the Cybercrime Countermeasures Division of the Niigata Prefectural Police. He asked folks not to create, sell, or buy modified save data or software. Here you wouldn't get a smackdown for it. There, it's a pretty big deal. And like I said, the judicial system is pretty tough.
Yeah, it is very interesting how that's something that is so frowned on there, but here, I don't know a lot of people that kind of like buy save files as it is. I don't know if there's a huge market for that here. I mean, it's the internet, whatever. But yeah, it's interesting how, I mean, it would have to be dealt with more of a, in a civil manner here, where Nintendo would take somebody to court for selling like modified versions or whatever. Like if that were something they were going to even chase, which I don't think they really do, unless they tack it on to something else. So yeah. And Gigi Romayas in chat brings up, oh yeah, Mari Carr. We talked about that on Anime Jam Session. Shout out Tuesday nights.
Yeah, that's a little different though. That's more of like, you know, stealing your intellectual property versus like I modified a game save. Yeah, I mean, I guess I could say it's my intellectual property because it's a game save. Yes. But like,
yeah, that's like Jamie said, it's the same
that's
law.
A little bit more ridiculous.
It's the same law though.
Yeah. So if I accuse them, then they're guilty, right? So then I'm just going to accuse them of perpetuating Joy-Con drift. Then where's my billions of dollars?
You'd really need to look at. There's actually a really good documentary about prisons in Japan that talks a lot about the prosecution. That if something actually goes to a prosecution, you're pretty much going to get put away.
All right. Well, let's move on to something that may end up in a court somewhere. Loki.
Yeah, so this is interesting. There's a brand new set of like cheat programs or software or something like that that this cheat maker is basically saying is undetectable on consoles and PC. The reason it's undetectable, it's or at least that's what they're alleging, is because it actually involves like a separate PC, so basically taking video from your console or your PC and then kind of running that through a separate PC with this program that then, I guess, I would assume it's connected to your input somehow, but it allows it basically to do all the aimbotting and stuff like that via AI and machine learning and stuff like that. So interesting. Of course, the game that they're promoting with this right now is Call of Duty, and you know, Activision is not having that. So they actually were advertising this on YouTube, and they've taken the ad down now. It's been struck with a copyright claim by Activision Publishing. So yeah, I can only imagine this is going to end well, but it is. They're building better cheat software. You know, they're getting around stuff like that. Stuff like that is going to be harder to detect, especially when it's not directly modifying the console. It's basically like an in between the console and, you know, the player. So good luck.
Yeah, but at the same, like, I give the YouTube and copyright strike stuff a lot of shit because it's way overused and it never is seems to be on the side of the creators. But I'll give them this one. Like, that's a pretty clever way to get the ad down for, you know, your game, which, you know, again, if you're going to use these aimbot things, and you're using if you're using them in multiplayer environments like Call of Duty, I'm sorry, you're the bad person here, not Activision, not YouTube. You're the bad person here. If you're using them in single player mode, go off. I don't give a fuck. Do whatever you want to do in single player mode. It's when you use this stuff to intentionally try to grief other people or get a leg up on something that to feel like you're good at something when you're not and you're just cheating and everybody knows you're cheating. Yeah. And the more you get up the ladder, the more that shit always comes out at the end of the day. Always comes out at the end of the day.
Yeah, so, especially when you see, like, you know, streamers and stuff like that getting caught with some of this stuff. It's ridiculous, but yeah, I don't get the point of cheating to make it way up ladder to brag about how good you are at the game, because you're not
good
at the game.
You suck at it. You're quite bad at it. Yeah.
I think though that these people though just can't really, they don't really care. They just,
I know.
But I beat you, so you're just mad, you know, like,
yeah, cry more, cry more, nerd. Yeah. That whole thing.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
It's silly. Yeah, I mean, you know, there's people in, you know, the online game, obviously, Dark Soccer and I both, hi, Minna, both play way too much of is Dead by Daylight. And I see hackers in that game once in a great while, but yeah. I don't give them the kindness of a reaction. I give them a swift right-click block. I don't want to see this bitch again. That's what they get from me. So, all right. Yeah, Alan had a match yesterday where there were seven people in the match somehow.
Yeah. Okay. So I've seen videos of,
crazy.
Like there was a thing going on for a little while where people were getting two killers.
That's wild.
This was, I think, a couple of releases ago, but, I was seeing this on like a polyester video. Where they were trying to figure out which killer had the active terror radius, because only one of them did, but oh, wow. Both were affected by survivor actions. It was really crazy. But this was actually a glitch, but I think that there's something in there that people have been exploiting.
Yeah, and I want no part of that. Like, again, if you're just going to cheat at a game, like, congrats, you did nothing. Like, you just wasted everybody's time. Congratulations, including yours.
Yeah.
All right. All right, let's move on. While Dark Soccer continues to give us kitty shots, let's move on and talk about one more story here before we get into our classic of the week. You can see there on the side that maybe we're doing something special tonight, but we'll get into that in a minute. First, we'll talk about Atari. Why not? Let's talk about Atari. How many out there got your Atari VCS?
No.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, that
you
is
mean a PC?
Happen.
I've already got a PC, so I didn't buy one.
Well, guess what? Atari's going to be getting even more into PC stuff, because Atari's said that they are going to be getting away from mobile gaming a little bit. This is in a recent report from GamesIndustry.biz. A statement by the new CEO, Wade Rosen, of Atari says, quote, "Our intent with any gaming experience is to provide accessible and joyful moments of meaningful play. That's the core of Atari and what binds our history with our future. To that end, we feel that premium gaming is better representative of this type of gaming experience and the Atari DNA." So they're going to be reducing the free-to-play mobile gaming stuff and concentrate instead on premium PC and console gaming. Of course,
Can we get like a new IP, Atari? I mean, because, like, honestly, they've just been re-releasing their old stuff.
I'll take
to death.
I'll take new games out of the old stuff if they're good. Like,
right.
Well,
that's
I take
fine,
a Crystal Castles, like, remade. Hell yeah, but it better be awesome, you know?
Better be ray traced Crystal Castles. I want to see the shine in those crystals.
Hell yeah. Exactly. See, that would be fun. Crystal Castles, I bet, would make kind of an awesome platformer type of game. But what do I know? Anyway, I guess they're going to sell or shut down some of their mobile IPs, including Roller Coaster Tycoon Stories. Crystal Castles, I guess, is on mobile. I didn't even know that. Atari Combat Tank Fury and Ninja Golf. Didn't know that was I guess that's one of those new IPs you can look forward to from Atari.
I don't think the Tycoon game was very good.
Ninja Golf was on the 7800.
Oh, wow. Okay. It was a joke gone bad. All right. I didn't know it even dated back there. Wow. All right. No word on the Atari Hotel, though. I'm still waiting on that one. There is that. By the way, since we brought up Atari, y'all want to bring up Intellivision?
Sure.
It's been an interesting... here's the thing. So they've had an interesting week on Twitter because Tommy likes to talk. And of course, I'm talking about Tommy Tallarico,
yeah.
Who's the CEO of Intellivision and now in the Amico and all that stuff. And he's cooked himself a little bit on Twitter by engaging in conversations he probably shouldn't be having. And he kind of knows this. So look, I'm gonna make this long story short. Not that I think that Tommy listens to this show, but I also kind of believe if you say his name three times in the mirror, he does have a tendency to show up to defend the Amico. So I will try to risk here. And here's my honest to God advice with Tommy. And this isn't to like knock him or anything. We've had him on this show before. I think he's a fascinating interviewer. I think he really – or a fascinating interviewee. I think he really believes in the product. I pre-ordered that Amico. I'm interested in it. I'm curious what it's going to do. My honest advice, though, Intellivision needs to have some more spokespeople and not just one. Because when you put everything in the hands of one person, that's when things can make or break for everybody, if you know what I mean, right? Look at a company like Nintendo. Nintendo didn't just have Reggie Fils-Aimé. Nintendo had Satoru Iwata. Rest in peace, by the way. I believe today is the anniversary of his passing, if I'm not mistaken. Nintendo had Miyamoto. Nintendo had other folks. Now they have Doug Bowser, of course. Nintendo has Nintendo also has Sakurai, and all that, and the memes, the great memes of "Please do not ask me for this again." A good gaming company has lots of different spokespeople to promote the product, and I think this is something in television. If the events of the past week and everything, I think really shows they really need that. And if Tommy's not willing to have that, I think that's... And here's the thing. I'm sure the response would be something like, but we have these developers over here. We have this over here. This goes back to one of our big golden rules here at OLR, and that is the truth doesn't matter. It's what's perceived that matters. And there's only one person out there doing interviews on Amico right now, as far as we can all see. So my strong advice, get some other people out there to really show that this system is for more than one person. All right. Anyhow, Dark Tetsuya says, I do love the ideas he was bringing to the table. Yeah, I'm not knocking the system or anything. Like I do think when he argues you should try it before you knock it, I think that is a fair request, 100%. And I completely agree. There's probably a lot of YouTubers out there who want to see this thing fail, who have no intention of ever trying it or giving it a chance, which, again, hurts developers at the end of the day. So, again, that's why my suggestion is show more of those people. Show some of these other people contributing to this system's success, and I think maybe you'll get a different result a little bit there. But Dr. Tetsuya does agree everything that I'm saying. Tiger Claw in chat says, Intellivision needs a PR agent. Unfortunately, they probably have one, but it's also one of those things where it's like sometimes you hire the person that lets you do whatever you want. Right?
Yeah. So,
like such as I'm sorry to bring this individual up, but such as our former president, you know, he only hired people and that were going to agree to everything he wanted. Anyway,
well, until they absolutely couldn't.
Yeah, and until finally, you know, it was all taken away. But anyway, let's move on. Let's look back on fonder times. Let's go way, way, way back and look on some fonder times in our next segment.
And now it's time to travel back to a simpler time, where I'll dive into the vault and pull out a classic and tell you about it. It's time for the classic game of the week.
But I don't think tonight is a classic game, is it, Darkstalker? It's something special.
It is a lot more special, and it is indeed a very special game. We're doing a flag, which is the fucking weird arcade game. And this one, I'm actually encompassing two together. They're one's its sequel. But the game is called Sonic Blast Man, and then the sequel, Sonic Blast Heroes. And I'm bringing up specifically the arcade version, because the arcade version is the weird one. So, basically, you have a setup where it's... You've got this target in front of you that you punch. And you punch it at certain intervals in the game. Imagine like a reverse Punch Mania, I guess, for people who have actually played a Punch Mania. So, it's, you basically are playing a superhero, and you have different, rescues that you have to perform. And so you have to basically hit the enemies and different targets, and you, and each target has a number of tons of resistance. And so once you've depleted that ton of resistance, they'll be defeated. So you have a pair of gloves and this mechanical punch pad. So you have to wear the gloves and punch strongly enough to deal the damage. Only 3 hits are allowed. So you have 5 stages, and then they're like mostly typical rescuing of people scenarios. You have a woman who is being assaulted by a thug. You have a baby carriage pushed into the middle of the freeway by accident that a truck will run over. An armed group that takes control of a building and is now the center of operations. You have a giant crab terrorizing a cruise ship and an asteroid that's set to crash into the Earth. Now, an interesting thing about this, and if you're watching the video, this is This one is a Sonic Blast Heroes that we're watching. In 1995, the original was recalled because of players who sustained injuries by playing the game. And then the Consumer Product Safety Commission said that Taito had to pay a fine of $50,000 for failing to disclose the injuries. And of course, what we're seeing here is that we are looking at now the official sequel, Sonic Blast Heroes, with, you know, touched up graphics, and, you know, but it's basically still the same kind of game. So it did get a console release, and who knows, maybe this will get its own classic game segment. But it came out on the SNES as a beat-em-up. And in this one, you have to save Earth from different kinds of forces, like street gangs and terrorists and aliens and robots and an evil clone called Heavy Blast Man. And it's a one-player only. It's a beat-em-up. There are also bonus levels that are adaptations of the arcade version. So since there's no, like, punch pad for strength, you have to repeatedly rotate the D-pad. It was definitely censored for the U.S. In Japan, you had female enemies. In the U.S., you did not. And it actually had a sequel as well on SNES, Sonic Blast Man 2, with different player characters that you had. The actual sequel to Sonic Blast Man is called... it's more like a spiritual sequel called Real Puncher, very similar to the original game, but it has like a photo mode for the places, for the faces of people in each of the levels. And it was released outside of Japan as a ticket redemption game. So yes, and then there's the other sequel. So yeah, there were more than one sequel. Sonic Blast Heroes was announced in 2010 in February, and it hit the arcades around the same time, and outside of Japan it was called Real Puncher 2. And that's it. Weird ass game.
They should make a One Punch Man spinoff of this game.
They should. I mean, it would fit, since, but for him, you could only get one punch.
It'd be bad timing.
Yeah.
I apologize as I ran away to the restroom while you were talking about this game, but have you actually played this game, out of curiosity?
This one?
Yeah.
Yes.
Nice.
Once.
I feel like I've seen it, but I don't remember
playing it. And it hurt my wrist.
Oh, no. All right. All right. Well, there it is. Your flag.
And,
oh, go ahead.
And to answer DJ Ranma S, and I don't know if he sent this comment before I read that it was, wasn't Sonic Blast Man one of the first games for Super Nintendo? And yeah. And that's the one I was talking about. It was pretty early for the system. It wasn't one of my favorites to play out of, you know, the beat 'em ups. I was more of a Final Fight person, but it wasn't bad. And I was glad that they could, at the time that I played it, I didn't know that it was an arcade game. I got to play one at some little indie arcade that happened to have one. And then, like, I hurt myself after I played it, and I decided not to play it again. The end.
All right. Well, keep those flags coming. That was a fun one. So, yeah, there it is, your classic flag of the month. All right, a matching pair this month. All right, let's get into, excuse me, hiccups. Let's get into our rapid fire news segment here. I have some coffee brewing, so I'm going to go grab that. So let's get right to Loki and some rapid fire news.
So Pokemon Go is making lots of money. They've raked in so far $5 billion since launch. So I'd say the game's successful, I guess. Or maybe it's dead, you know. Pokemon Go's dead. That's what really we should be taking away from this. And then there was a new world records set for a collection of old retro, I guess, LCD games. So Linda Gilroy's, she's got two different records. For having a collection of almost 1,600 LCD gaming systems, which is pretty awesome. And then also 2,430 playable gaming systems. So I'm assuming consoles outside of that. She's got more than Jamie's vault there. So
no,
I don't know. Where's your world record for that? I'm just kidding.
I haven't tried.
But yeah, so it's pretty cool to see the collection that she has. They have a video on YouTube about it and stuff, so definitely worth checking out. But yeah, those LCD games are pretty awesome. I grew up on that stuff, so
yeah.
I remember playing I used to have a Castlevania 2 Simon's Quest LCD game. Not as old as some of the like Galaxian and stuff that they're showing, but fun stuff.
I used to love those LCD games. I don't think I owned a lot of them myself, but I love those games, and that's an I didn't even know they made that many of them. So very impressive collection. Very.
You just have to collect all those little mini cabs now that you can get a world record for that.
Yeah, right. I'm sure somebody's got me beat there because there's too many of them now. Like somebody sent me a little like it's like the tiny arcade, and it was Hello Kitty Pac-Man or something like that. And as neat as it looked, those really really tiny ones that are almost like keychain size. They're not my favorite, but I guess when you're collecting things, you still want them all, you know. So because I have a few of them. So, but. Yeah, I didn't want to go seek out one of these Hello Kitty ones, but I like the one that Alan got me a few weeks ago live on the show. You know, they're pretty impressive now.
We have the Galaga tabletop arcade one up.
Oh, really? I didn't know you guys got
that. Yeah, I think we got it like way dirt cheap.
You probably when Loki was on here going there $50 at Walmart right now, you probably jumped on one of those, yeah.
I think Dan got it somewhere else, but yeah, it's pretty cool.
That's awesome. Yeah, I'm hoping I'll have some more space soon to expand those a little bit, but I'll talk about that later. All right, let's move on and travel around the world and check out some release. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. No, we need to do Darksiders rapid fire news. Then we do release dates. Darksiders.
Yeah.
My bad. I got thinking about LCD games.
That's okay. So there is these pictures have been posted of an Animal Crossing Monopoly. And I mean, it looks pretty legit. I mean, it's got all the right stuff on the boxes. It said that it was, I mean, some people are saying that it's a rumor, but I mean, apparently Hasbro released one, but Hasbro or Nintendo hasn't said anything about it yet. Hmm. There is a list for the game on Zatu Games UK website for it. But the Reddit user that talked about it posted some pictures of the game. And so we have, like, Isabelle inside the box. Welcome to your deserted island getaway. And it has the cards. It has little punch-outs for bells and coins and fruit and fossils. And you have four little figures, which there's only one girl, and she's wearing pink, which is terrible.
Huh.
But the box looks really cute. The back of it looks really cute. I mean, it seems fairly likely. So I guess that you're using your fossils and whatnot, little tokens, instead of houses and whatnot. So,
oh yeah, probably. SSG 100 Matt suggests, is Mr. Rossetti jail?
You know what? I didn't look. Hold on, because I'm looking at the play field.
No, they
he's not on there.
They cheaped out by having just the traditional go to jail thing, but it really should have been.
Poor Rossetti.
Yeah.
He really got a raw deal in this latest
game. He's traumatized an entire series of childhoods, you know.
Yeah.
And I love him for it.
Mm-hmm.
So the other story here, there, you know, we've every so often brought up different unopened games. We have an unopened Legend of Zelda from 1997, and it does look like it's a gold cartridge. Sold for $870,000. Of course, Heritage Auctions in Dallas is what hosted the sale. The same auction house is the same one that sold the unopened copy of Super Mario Brothers that someone forgot in his desk drawer since 1986. But yeah, I mean, maybe I should never have removed the shrink wrap from my copy of Guitaru Man.
Maybe we should sell an NFT of episode one.
Let's do it.
No,
we're not going to do it. All right.
we'll sell just enough so that we can get pizza.
that's probably how much it would ultimately go for. It would just buy a pizza. Maybe two of them.
Hey, if someone buys us a pizza, we'll give you the first episode.
No, 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 no.
I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
I do not.
We'll send you a screenshot from the old webcam.
You are not Homer Simpson, and you are not selling the show for a forbidden donut.
I'm joking.
Right.
Besides that, I mean, like, just like an audio clip.
I'm like, I'll send.
I have some select audio clips that would be NFT worthy, but I forbid those from ever happening.
DJ Rama S says you can actually do that. It's called Treat Stream. No, we're not getting into the NFT business. I don't until it makes sense to me. We're not getting into that business.
Who would buy it? No one knows who we are anyway.
I know. You want to really impress us? Get people to listen to the show.
I'll sell a pair of my socks for, like, a good pizza.
I'm so excited for conventions to come back so I can actually, like, tell people about this show again. That'd be very nice. We can maybe get some more listeners.
Next year, though, I mean, I'm planning DerpyCon and DragonCon.
Oh.
Although I really want to do TwitchCon now.
Oh yeah, TwitchCon would be oh my god, TwitchCon would be off the hook. I really want to do that. Yeah, yeah. I doubt it's going to happen this year because that would be a little soon. Because usually that was in like October, November, I think. And I think we would have heard by now if they plan on doing that. But yeah, 2022 for sure. That'd be great. I know some local cons are starting back up. Like there's going to be a Sinister Con out in Roseville in August, and I'll probably just show up, say hey. I don't think I'm doing anything in official capacity there, but
November 14th is GlitchCon.
Oh, where's that at?
It's online.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Nice. Let's see. Pod Culture says, trying to suss out how to get that click out, which I think is actually a response to editing a particular past episode of our show. But I think it's a good we're trying to suss out and get the click out. That is exactly what we're trying to do for OLR as well. So I read it anyway. There it is. Carlos Spenectopia, Spenacopita. Sorry, I'm totally butchering that. Says DC One is weekend of August.
Spenacopita.
Spenacopita.
Carlos Spenacopita. You know what Spenacopita is, right?
No.
It's a delicious Greek spinach and feta pastry in phyllo dough, and it's absolutely one of my favorite foods.
I think I have had one of those before.
It's so good.
The DC One is DC. Which DC One?
TwitchCon?
No, I think just maybe a convention. No. I don't, because TwitchCon East was supposed to be earlier in the year.
Mm.
Yeah.
God anyway. Damn it. Now I want Spenacopita. I actually may have some frozen in my fridge.
All right. Now we can move on and travel the world and check out some release dates in a segment called World Release Dates. We'll start with the U.S., Loki.
Not much coming out this week. So we've got Monster Hunter Stories 2, Wings of Ruin on PC and Nintendo Switch. Blaster Master Zero 2 on Xbox One and Xbox Series X.
Oh, shit. Nice.
Trials of Mana on iOS and Android. F1 2021 on PC, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, and Xbox Series X. And last but not least, The Legend of Zelda Skyward Sword HD on Nintendo Switch. That's it.
Nice. I love those Blaster Master games. I mean, I already have them on Switch, so I don't know if I'll get them on Xbox. I'll wait to see if they go to Game Pass or
They'll
something.
They'll be on Game Pass, probably.
I know. So I'll wait for that. But yeah, those were some good remakes. So I would recommend those. Yes, I would. All right. Moving on to Japan and checking out some releases there. There's a few more games out there this week. On the Nintendo Switch, Everyone's Spelunker is out this week, as well as Wan Nian Pet Shop. Kawaii Pet is coming out this week. Oh, I bet that'll be fun. And then we have, oh boy, I'm going to butcher this one. If you thought I had a hard time pronouncing Greek pastries, wait for this one. Monster wo taushite suyoi ken ya yori wo te ni shin asai yusha tai ga mau wo taosu sono hi wo shinje timatsu. That is one game.
The wo is pronounced o.
O.
It's a participle.
But I don't know what game this is. It doesn't look familiar to me, but I don't have time to play everything. But it is about where you get invited to Tir na Bark, a magical kingdom where fairy swords and magic resides, and you can meet brave adventurers who wish for their next quest. And then you have to get the hidden treasures of the seven demon kings. I mean, if that doesn't sound like one of the most generic stories.
I have to look this up.
It looks fun. It looks cute.
A Winx Club.
Monster Taoshite Tsuyoi Kenya Yoroi o Tenish Shinsai Yusha Taiga Mao o Taususono hi. Oh, got a pop up. Thank you, Playasia. Sono hi o Shinji Temas.
Yeah, this is. And why do I do the Japanese dates again? All right.
Because it's funny.
It looks like it's two games.
It was funny 15 years ago. All right.
It's two games.
Is it two games?
Two games in one.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well then, oh, okay. 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 I got it. That's why. All right. We also have a game called Crayon Shin-chan is coming out this week as well.
Crayon Shin-chan's old school.
Earth Defense Force 2 is coming out in Japan for the Nintendo Switch. How about that? And an English version of The Legend of Zelda Skyward Sword. Oh, that's... Oh, obviously. Okay, it's the same game coming everywhere else, but
oh,
it's just on the 16th.
I just translated it.
Huh.
Make sure that you have a strong armor. I'm confident that I'm going to have a good time.
Okay.
That's what the translation said.
I'm going to put that on my next party invite.
Oh, no. Something about... No, hold on. So it's not it. I'm going to actually fix something real quick.
I assure you, I've stopped caring about this game.
Well, I'm... You know me. I have to know all the things.
It's fine. Let me finish some more dates here. On the PlayStation 5, Control in Japan, as well as Metro Exodus. These are, I think, re-releases of, like, Ultimate Complete Edition, meaning that DLC is included. And then on the PlayStation 4 this week, Everyone's Spelunker, as well as another Kemco RPG selection. They've had a lot of those released over there. This one has As Divine Cross, Alphadia Genesis 2, Ruinverse, Chroma Quarternion.
I found the actual translation, by the way.
Okay, what is it? Because that's it. That's it for dates for me.
Because it's a series. It's done... Hold on. Okay. So it stands for Defeat Monsters and Acquire Strong Swords and Armor. I believe in the day the heroes defeat the Demon Lord. It's been shortened to Monyu.
That's... Oh, so you just call it Monyu for short? That's it?
Monyu.
Oh, boy. Mm-hmm. All right, how about Europe?
All right, on the 13th, we have Worms Rumble. The worms in there look like toes. I'm just going to say it now. On the 16th, and all the rest of these are on the 16th, we have Super Bomberman R, Farming Simulator 17 Ambassador Edition, Observer System Redux, Hotline Miami Collection, F1 2021, Where the Heart Leads, the Switch Joy-Con pair, The Legend of Zelda Skyward Sword. So nice. And, of course, Skyward Sword HD.
All right. So I'm sure that Zelda Skyward Sword is going to catch a lot of attention this week, but we'll see. All right. Let's move on. We have some more stories for you, and then we'll get to your feedback in the listener roundtable. I don't know if we have emails tonight, though. I haven't checked there recently.
I haven't looked, actually.
All right. We'll find out. Meanwhile, Loki.
So there is a rumor that the PlayStation Vita store is going to be, I don't know if it's closed down or at least not releasing any new games after July 20th. This is coming from the developer of a game called Russian Subway Dogs, who is basically porting his game from PC onto the Vita. But basically, the developer, Miguel Sternberg, has been rushing to finish it because he had heard rumors that it's going to be switched off in 2021. But basically saying that, you know, right now it's kind of a passion project of his to get it translated. But yeah, I don't know where the July 20th date necessarily gets mentioned here, but I do know that at least he's trying to rush to get it done. But that's the rumor date for right now, so we'll have to see what happens with that.
You know, wasn't this the whole thing like about a year ago that Sony was threatening to close down this store and the PlayStation 3 store, and people really were up in arms about it because there wouldn't be a way to play a lot of those classics if the store goes down. There's still a lot on PlayStation 3 you can't get anywhere else. So it's interesting that this is coming back now.
Yeah, and I'm still trying to, like, the developer doesn't necessarily mention the July 20th date, so I'm just trying to figure out where they get that from. So I don't know. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. That's not that long from now.
All right. Well, a game I never shut up about here on OLR is Final Fantasy XIV, and I never shut up about it because I really enjoy it. I don't know if I enjoy it this much, but I bet other people do, to the extent that they would buy a cookbook based on Final Fantasy XIV. It's interesting the cookbook is for 14 and not 15.
And not 15, yes, although, exactly.
But to be fair, I kind of think there already is one for 15, to be honest.
I kind of want...
So there is that going on. So, yeah, a Final Fantasy XIV cookbook was spotted, and I guess it was named something a little bit more generic, but some digging from good old Wario64 on Twitter found out that this book is slated to launch on November 9th, 2021. It has a foreword written by Naoki Yoshida, and it's going to cost about $35. Of course, we don't know what recipes, if popoto soup or whatever, are going to be in there, I guess stay tuned for all the details on that. Sometimes these things come with like a special code for an in-game item as well, and that'll make it more desirable. This was also a reminder to myself to bring up the benchmark that just came out over the weekend for Endwalker, but I already talked about that earlier in the show, so I guess I don't need to say that again. But Dark Soccer, this might be something that interests you?
Maybe.
Maybe?
I mean, I like video game cookbooks a whole lot, so...
It is a fun... little niche, right? Like, it's like not something you see a lot, but it's kind of funny when it's there. So, No One Special 77 in chat says, if it isn't in the cookbook, there should be a recipe for KFC, Kentucky Fried Chocobo.
Not funny.
Anyway, Fifth Dream says, who wrote the cookbook? I was helping the author of the WoW cookbook, the GOT cookbook, gather recipes from 14 and 15, but nothing came of it yet. She wrote a Star Wars cookbook, too. I don't have the name in front of me. I'm sorry, because I don't know if – I think it's – they're figuring this all out from the Amazon description for an untitled project. So I don't know if they actually know who the author of it is yet. But that would be really interesting if it's the same person. So, all right. Let's move on. Dar Sakura.
So, I'm saying this with the hope that we don't get into the big police discussion, but it is going to touch on it. So, I'm leaving a trigger warning for that right now. So, the New York Police Department is rolling out this thing called a game truck. They've already done it once, but they want to say their goal is to connect with youth, particularly in low-income neighborhoods. So they said it's like an olive branch of sorts to sort of repair a relationship, because there's been so much deserved mistrust. So the chief of community affairs for the department has said, and I'm just going to read the quote: "We're coming to your block. We're coming out to your neighborhood. Make sure our young people have a safe summer, a safe place, and know that the NYPD is here to support them." So the truck has different gaming consoles, including Switches, PS5s, Xbox Series X. And they just want to connect to the young people. That's what they said. It's painted with various Marvel characters and the word NYPD game truck. I don't know what comic book characters really have to do with video games, apart from there being video games that contain comic book characters, but whatever. You know, that's when you let non-gamers decide, you know, do your marketing.
Well, it was that or free candy.
They're saying that this is trying to engage with the youth for extracurricular activities. The first truck was spotted over the July 4th weekend in the north end of Manhattan's East River Park. Near several of the New York City Housing Authority buildings. There's another truck in Bushwick neighborhood. Now, here's what the critics are saying, is that there are people who want to think that this is well-intentioned, but it's another reflection, and this is actually stated by Oleyemi Olorin, who's a public defender with the Legal Aid Society. Not AIDS, but Aid Society, that they try to intertwine themselves into the communities. Quote, it's really just another means of indoctrinating people into believing the police are necessary and have to be around. And it's another way in which the same communities are forced to have constant police presence, end quote. There's also some practices. Like, for example, in 2018, they were questioning a 12-year-old boy suspected of committing a felony. They gave him a soda from McDonald's. The interview was over. The boy was let to go, but they recovered the straw and entered his DNA into a database. It didn't link him to any crimes. The family had to petition a court to have it removed. But, I mean, they're breaking laws. So they're thinking that because of incidents like this, that they might be using these kids going into the vans or whatever as a means to collect DNA. Another quote by Marianne Kaishian, who is a senior policy counsel with Brooklyn Defender Services. Her quote says, for decades, the NYPD has aggressively sought to target and survey New Yorkers, particularly young Black and brown people, and to harvest and catalog their DNA in a secretive internal archive such as the gang database and rogue DNA database. It may seem a little bit, what's the word I'm thinking of? almost conspiracy theory, is except the fact that they have done it before. They're doing over surveillance, basically taking up some predatory practices, at least according to a lot of people. NYPD didn't respond to any requests for comments on this. None of the associated facilities have. But it was said at the time, the chief of detectives, Dermot Shea, in 2018, that there is the NYPD criminal group database, or quote, gang database, that was made up of 99% non-white people, particularly Black and Latino young men, with children as young as 13 years old being added into it. So there is definitely precedent for it. However, I'm going to go on the fence with this one. I think that it is a well-intentioned plan, you know? And I think trust does need to be rebuilt, but I think they have to earn that trust, you know? They have to do more to earn the trust, and I don't think putting out a truck with video games to get some kids into play is going to do it. They need to be massive overhauls.
I'm gonna just say agree, and I'm gonna read some chat comments that I think are pretty. Please
read Rama's.
Our New York fam is lighting up on this. So yes, of course, I'll start with Rama. So Rama says, so let me say this: since I live in NYC and I'm a targeted person, LOL, I think this is a good idea because the NYPD does have community initiatives. Some are saying that this is a trap to suss out gang members. I don't defend the NYPD, but I feel they're trying. We just need better people in the NYPD to help with this. I want to read SSJ 100 Matt's comment as well. Basically, you got to go a long way to gaining trust in communities. Gaming truck is nice and all, but you got to have decades of trust to regain for some folks. And that's kind of... Yeah. That's kind of where my head is at with it, and I think the well-intentioned part is accurate. It's one of those, especially when you paint Marvel characters on the side of it. And somebody in chat had also said, how do you do, fellow kids, with that whole thing?
Yeah.
There is a part of me that kind of is like, gold star, you tried. You get the tried star. It's well-intentioned, you tried, but it doesn't address the real issues.
It makes me think of... I'm going to put it this way. Imagine you have a diabetic foot with necrotic tissue on it. Now imagine just putting a Band-Aid and some Neosporin on it. That's what this feels like to me. You might feel better for a little bit, and that one little part might get a little bit better, but there's still a big festering necrotic wound underneath it that needs to... Well, and when you get to that point, you need to cut some things out of it and replace things with good tissue or packaging or... You know, prosthetics at that point. That's my thought about it, is that it might not be enough. You've got to get, and I know this is very broad and generalized, you need to get the damaged tissue removed. You need to remove the people who are going along with it, who are silencing others and are focusing on their own personal gain and personal power. And we need to bring back a police that is held accountable and also fairly holds itself accountable. So that's my two cents on it. This is a very small, this is a little bit of gauze and Neosporin, where what you need is like debridement. And yeah.
Dijarama S in chat saying, basically agreeing with what you said, but also wanting to say Marvel is popular and Marvel is in NYC. So in a way, it does make sense that way. All right. I'll give you that. Bonds 006 wants to chime in too, saying, also living here in NYC, Rama and I can speak volumes. I have literally seen one of those gaming trucks six doors down from my door, right across a basketball court / school building. Interesting. And Rama wanted to add, we'll get one more comment here from Rama and then we'll move on. Saying, and I grew up in the projects, you know, the bad part of town, the parts of town where the cops are a lot, which causes a lot of these issues. All I can say is that you have to live here to understand it. So,
yeah.
But even if you can listen to people as well and learn some stuff from the people that are there and stuff. So that's why
Tiger
I'm reading y'all's comments.
Please bear in mind that Marvel is a lot more than just the films, where they're filmed has nothing to do with the comics.
Yeah. All right.
Just saying.
Let's go ahead and move on to our next story, because this is this is one of those things where I'm like, wow, but also not surprised. Loki, I don't know how else to set this up for you, but it's...
All I have to say is the word is de novo. And so, you know, it makes sense that when we had a cracking group called Empress remove the DRM, including de novo from Resident Evil 8.
They're doing the Lord's work.
It not only allowed them to play it without DRM, but also allowed them to play without the stuttering issues that they've been having in the game since back in May. And apparently, like, all the game in-game stutters when you kill zombies or whatever have been fixed because Capcom's DRM entry points have been patched out. So most of their functions are never executed anymore. This results in a much smoother gameplay experience. Like, that's a problem when your DRM causes performance in game and the pirates are having a better game experience than your actual paid customers. That's how you get more pirates, Capcom. So maybe cut it out.
Yeah, this whole thing speaks volumes, you know. And I can't stop laughing at Darsakra saying they're doing the Lord's work, but in a way they are. Because it's one of those things where if the game runs better without it, it just encourages people to look into these types of things that perhaps they wouldn't have looked into otherwise. That's bad, especially if Capcom can't lock that shit up now. Like now, then this story is just going to spread and people are going to see this headline. Oh, how do I get Resident Evil 8 to run better on my system? Oh, I just steal it. I see. This is not a great situation for Capcom, and it's a really not great thing for De Novo or whatever. But people need to stop
De Novo,
De Novo to get out. Oh, that's it's terrible, and we've never heard a good story about it. Look, I understand that companies want to protect their shit, and I do not endorse piracy here. But when this types of stuff happens, it is very embarrassing for all these companies that it's like it's so obviously shines a spotlight on what the flaw is in the game when it's impacting performance like that.
Well, yeah, and we're not saying that people are pirating the game necessarily with the cracked version. You can crack a paid version as well, and you know, if you're a consumer that wants to play the game, you know, not broken
ethically and ethically too. Fifth Dream in chat says, I wonder how many other crappy ports of stuff was caused by the copy protection.
Well, in this case, it seems to be most of the blame is the Capcom DRM, but Dunov also sucks.
Man, how I sometimes miss the days of turn to page 5 in the manual and type the third word on the fourth line.
That would be immediately defeated.
I guess that doesn't work anymore these days. Nope. Or the God, what was it? Some of the Sierra games had the copy-proof paper. It was like the dark red paper. Maybe it wasn't Sierra. I don't know. But there's some company that had like the
copy protection. It's a lot of them, yeah.
Dark red. You couldn't copy it. This is funny. All right. Let's move on. Orange Ride in chat says, dial a pirate.
I love dial a pirate.
All right. Moving on. Let's talk about... Oh, I think this is actually the last story we have tonight for our listener roundtable. It's a story about Roblox. They've just formed a deal with Sony to help with some of the music issues. Now, remember, this was a thing that was starting to sneak up on Roblox, was how they were getting dragged all over all these copyright problems.
It's snuck up on them. Like, they weren't totally aware of all of the rampant piracy and copyright theft on their service.
Okay, the courts are sneaking up on them, and the legal stuff is starting too, okay? So anyway, now they are on their way to get some music deals because of the $200 million lawsuit over copyright violations. So Roblox has unveiled a team up with Sony Music. So this will allow the label artists to be on the game platform. The two will collaborate in innovative music experiences. Apparently, there's going to be a Lil Nas X concert in November. Can I just pause the show to have an appreciation moment for Lil Nas X? I realize what he's doing is very you know, it's causing some people to go, well, that's a little much for television, that's a little much. But you know what, it is fucking fascinating to me fucking fascinating to me that when Lil Nas X kisses a dude during a performance on the BET Awards or whatever that was, where that happened, was Saturday Night Live where that happened too? I don't know. But in his live performances where that is happening, they will show that clip and stop it right before that moment happens, and then immediately run the clip from the Video Music Awards from like 15 years ago when Madonna kissed Britney and Christina Aguilera, but they don't censor that one. What's the difference? What's the difference?
One makes the straight white males uncomfortable.
Does Lil Nas X make you uncomfortable?
No, I don't care. I'm just saying some of the other ones.
And why not?
I think he's super cute.
Why does Lil Nas X not make you uncomfortable? I'm not interrogating you. I think you actually are a model. You're a model heterosexual. I want other heterosexuals to hear this. Why are you not bothered by Lil Nas X?
Who cares who he's kissing? He's not kissing me. I don't care. That's a TV.
God. What a logical conclusion, Loki. That is very, you're right. You're right. It doesn't affect you. You're right. It's amazing. Outstanding.
It's like I seriously think like some of the like mindset people have about this, like stupid people. Let's be clear. It's absolute stupid people. It's just like, oh my God, if I watch this, I'm going to be gay. You know, like it's stupid people. I'm sorry. And there's a lot of stupid people in this country, unfortunately, and around the world.
Yeah.
You want to know what makes you gay? Mass Effect. I'm kidding.
So look, I think Lil Nas X, like the way he's responding to his critics is on point, and I wish there was somebody like him that I had when I was younger, because when I was younger, all we had was Madonna, and that's why Madonna is such a gay icon for people around my age, is because she was the person that was basically like, I'm gonna, you know, do this stuff and be I'm going to be unapologetically me, whether you like it or not.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, sorry, little bit. I didn't mean for a Roblox story to get me on this tangent, but here we are. It is OLR. All right,
that's what we do.
That's true.
I'm going to go on a tangent. So my kids, or my son's actually taking a coding class for Roblox this week, which is kind of fun. He's very excited about that, but they've been knee deep in Brookhaven, which is a game on Roblox. Tell me about all the lore and stuff that happens. It's like some role play game thing where you get to pretend to be like rich people or kids or I don't know, something.
Now, I know who Lil Nas X is, and that's who's doing the concert in Roblox in November. I do not know who Zara Larsson is. Can a young person explain this to me? Who's Zari Larsson? That is they are getting a launch party in May, whoever that is. Sorry. I'm getting to that age, y'all. Do we have some 20-somethings out there in the audience? Can somebody explain to me who is that? Now I feel like I'm the Dionne Warwick talk show, and I'm inviting the guest on. Who are you, and why should I care about you? Like, what? Have you seen that sketch on Saturday Night Live? Because that's, like, my favorite thing. Anyway. Uh-oh, see, the chat is already lighting up. I don't know who this is. I'm sorry. She's a Swedish pop icon. Oh, no wonder my comment just rubbed you the wrong way. Let's see. Bonds 006 says, Rob, we need a younger audience to connect with. I guess. Yeah.
I just can't listen to all of the music in the world. Like, sorry. Especially pop music. I'm not listening to any of that.
But if it's Swedish, honestly, if it's Swedish pop, I will probably
there's
like
a larger
it.
Chance. Yeah,
I'll probably like it. Like to be fair, and you know what? There was a date. So there, Carlos, there was a date and time when I didn't know who Carly Rae Jepsen was, but then I had it explained to me, and I listened to some of the songs, and I was like, "Oh yes, Queen, go off, sis!" Like, it's all of that. So maybe I'll do the same.
She won one of the Got Talent shows.
Oh, did she? Okay. All right. Moving on. Let's see. What else do I want to say about the Roblox story? This really wasn't supposed to be Old Man Yells at Cloud, but here we are.
You said it, not me. And I'm older.
you're young at heart and hip. Anyway,
This is not.
Yeah, along with my broken hip. I'm kidding.
This is not the first deal Roblox has made. There was a deal with BMG and Warner as well. So Universal is the only big label that hasn't signed an agreement yet. So this could bode well for Roblox.
Why doesn't like YouTube do something like this?
Or why doesn't like, Twitch?
Yeah.
I think that would be great. There you go. Carlos says, Rob, you'll like it. I need to get you on the Nordic Pop Queens. I already listened to Robin. What else do I need?
Really?
I love Robin. All right.
Excuse me. I'll keep dancing on my own and like it.
Actually, and legit, before the pandemic, actually, it was probably about a year before the pandemic, I saw Robin live in Oakland on the tour for her latest album.
Enya is not Swedish.
That is legit one of the... Enya, who said
she's
Enya's
Irish?
Swedish? Enya's not Swedish.
No, Bonds 006 is listening like pop music. I'm like, no, that's she's Irish.
Carlos says, I mean, Robin was your era since she started glowing up in the 90s. Was that shade? Do we need the shade button? Was that shade?
I don't think it was intended shade.
No,
it was more like a passing cloud.
I don't read it as such. It's fine. It was a little bit of fog rolling in. That's fine. No One Special 77 says, Roxette and Ace of Base, yo. Now we're fucking talking. Now we're fucking talking. Roxette.
That was my era.
And mine too. There's plenty to go around. Share.
You know what was funny? Those like... Roxette and Ace of Base were my guilty pleasures because I was still like Radiohead, Pearl Jam, you know, Soundgarden, all of the stuff
that
came
out
of the grunge revolution. And then I was also listening to Ace of Base.
I'm living proof you can have one foot in goth industrial and you can have the other foot in DDR music. Okay. I'm living proof. There's nothing wrong with it.
Well, and also like mid-90s J-pop.
Carlos in chat says, if I recall correctly, members of Ace of Base are problematic now. Yeah, some things happened.
One of them had a problematic past.
Yeah, I'm trying to just remember what I remember in the 90s. So that's how I look at that.
Well, it's like I own... some Jeffree Star makeup that I bought before I knew what a piece of shit he was.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not selling it because it was expensive. I'm not throwing it away because I paid money for it, but I'm not going to buy anymore.
I'm just going to transition this to listener roundtable because that's essentially what we're doing right now. Yeah. If you have other comments in chat. Bonds 006 says Soundgarden, Radiohead, POD, Chevelle, Rob Zombie, Tattoo. I stop now. That is okay. Like at least half of those, I at least own one album by them. For sure. Let's see. Moving on. Shad Starzix in chat saying, The New World Ends With You has this goth synth pop song, and it's one of my favorites from the demo. But speaking of like goth and synth pop coming together, that's why I love Echo Image so much. That's what that band is. A Different Drum was kind of a goth label. Yes, I know it was a lot of synth pop, but that blend was like that. So I that's why they're one of my favorites.
I mean, and there is goth synth wave. I mean, the whole retro new wave movement, which is kind of like sort of my thing right now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of crossover into like the goth, what's the word I'm thinking of? Like the umbrella of goth.
Yeah.
It branches out to so many different things. I mean, because you have your old industrial. I mean, it's always been married.
Absolutely. That's what The Cure is to me. The Cure
I'm thinking
really like,
they're
know,
not
you're probably,
the
like,
synth pop.
I know you're
part
talking
of it.
More like Apoctima, Berserk and things like that. And the other one. Okay. So before we did OLR, I used to go to the goth club all the time. I know I've told this story before. That was my Sunday night. It was goth nights at the Rage, which isn't even there anymore.
I went to the other one.
This is funny, but yeah.
The one in Midtown.
But I remember the Asylum was what they called it. Asylum, yes, always closed out every night. One of the last songs they would play was Wilshem, Once in a Lifetime.
That, you remember that that's where my bachelorette party ended up?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
At Asylum?
Uh-huh.
That was my bachelorette party.
Yeah. But there was, they got the DJ to play Echo Image. I remember that. I think that was Jessica that did that too. Got the DJ to play Echo Image, like, and the guy actually liked it and put it in his rotation for a couple months, which I thought was interesting. That was right around the time DDR Ultra Mix 2 came out. So it's just awesome.
Cool.
Love that. Let's see. Fifth Dream says, I miss Goth Night, but the pandemic put so many Goth Nights on Twitch. Bonds 006 says, no love for grunge music. No, I didn't maybe follow
it
as much. Yeah, no.
Just say that I did?
Yeah. I probably didn't listen to as much of it, but you listen to, I don't know, when I was growing up in the 90s, I listened to a little bit of everything. Honestly, you know, you go to my collection and you would see things like like PM Dawn and Radiohead, Alanis, just anything and everything. Anyhow, let's see. By the way, Shane, help us answer an earlier question in the show. The OLED Switch. Somebody asked if you were going to fight people to pre-order it. And I was kind of like, I think Shane is going to get it, but he had to kind of talk himself into it a little bit. He wasn't like, oh my God, I got to get one right away after seeing the trailer. Fifth Dream says Stone Temple Pilots, PJ. I thought you were gonna say PJ Harvey. Now that was up my alley in the 90s. So,
You know, my other 90s group, though, that I was way into and still am, Luscious Jackson.
Oh, I love Luscious Jackson. Heck yeah.
Well, I mean, my two personal theme songs, I'd say, from them is Lady Fingers and Daughters of the Chaos.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh, such a good group.
Fifth Dream said Nick Cave. Fuck yes, Nick Cave. To Nick Cave. Oh my God, that Nick Cave
and the duet
song
he did
is,
with Kylie.
Yes, is so good. Actually, legit though, my favorite Nick Cave song is the Ship song, which is a slow bow. I love that song. Anyway, all right.
You know,
look
who
at us
I
going
always
down memory lane.
You know who I always had this mental impression of the most interesting duet ever would have been Leonard Cohen and Nick Cave.
Hmm.
Could you just imagine?
I'm surprised that never happened.
Yeah.
Okay.
But no, Lady Fingers is my personal theme song, just to tell Shad Starzik that.
And Shane's in chat and wants to say, I will be getting it, the OLED Switch. Yes, I went back and forth because it's only a screen upgrade, but then I realized I barely play it docked. So there was, I didn't mischaracterize that. There was a little back and forth. He didn't just say, oh, I'm getting it because it's new and shiny. He had to talk himself into it a little bit. All right. Anyway, moving on. I was going to get to our email. I don't think we have any tonight.
We don't have any.
Let me shout it out anyway. Participate at orangeloungeradio.com. But sadly, there are no emails to read tonight, but maybe we'll get some in the future. That means I get to have a quick Drag Race tangent because I'm watching All-Star 6. I'm actually watching it.
I need to buy it. Is it any good?
Buy it. Oh yeah, because that's right, you download by episode. I have Paramount Plus, but actually yes, because
just give me your login.
Okay. I will just remind me and I will. The thing I like about it is that it's not like what I was really starting to get turned off with Drag Race was that it was just drama, manufactured drama. And All-Star 6 is surprising, considering this is a cast that has Eureka, Silky Nutmeg Ganache, and some of the queens that are kind of known for that stuff. Honestly, redemption is a very strong theme this season. And people like Silky Nutmeg Ganache know exactly how they were received by the public, and they are doing everything they can to change it.
Does she still draw her brows on with a Sharpie?
I just prefer to talk about the milk and cookies in her titties. But anyway, that is
okay.
That's my quick tangent on Drag Race, is that I'm actually enjoying All-Star 6. And what's really surprised me is some of the queens that are doing well were not the ones I was expecting to. So it's very, very interesting. Yeah. This is a very redemption based season.
Well, message me and I'll do a little marathon.
I'll call you later, but you have to, because you're going to probably stream after the show tonight, so I'll probably have to do it tomorrow.
Yeah.
But you have to go and log in, and then you get an activation code, and then I put in the code. That's how it works.
Oh, gotcha.
Now. Yeah.
So. All right, cool. All right. I'll tell Dan we'll get that set up.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I don't care. Just watch whatever you want on it. Just don't do it on Thursdays when they release them, because that's when I watch them. But
okay.
I think we're the only other person I'm sharing with is only on it for Star Trek, so I don't think that's a problem right now. So.
Well, I want to watch that too. So yeah,
binge
cool.
away, have fun. All right.
All right.
Anyway, let's move on. There was a big old question here from No One Special. I want to make sure I get that here. No One Special always tries to come up with a good question for the listener roundtable, and I think I skimmed it. Ah, yes. Okay. So this is about video game movies. No One Special says, as you all know, video game movies are nothing new and have been around for ages. They run the gamut from terrible, see the Blood Rain movies, well, just honestly, anything with Uwe Boll, right, to fairly good, the Silent Hill movies, and have been in multiple genres, documentaries, fictional stories, etc. All that being said, is there any video game movie that stands out for you that you particularly enjoy, even if it may be an unpopular choice? For me, I especially love the first two Final Fantasy movies and The King of Arcades. So video game movies you enjoyed even if the masses didn't. See, I would...
I love Silent Hill.
That's what I'd say, is Silent Hill. The masses didn't really like that movie.
Liked the first Resident Evil, although it really had nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
To me.
Yeah. I am so jazzed. See, now it's interesting because it's not just movies. Now it's going to be TV shows. Because, again, we have The Witcher, which, okay, yeah, book, you know, whatever. It's kind of on the line. I wonder if I could answer this question with something like, because you said,
Mortal Kombat, the very first one.
Well, I was going to say, what about something like Stranger Things? I know that isn't rooted in gaming, but I'll be damned if that show doesn't feel like a video game plot and kind of tickle a lot of the same like retro stuff that video games kind of do for me. I don't know.
Oh, I also liked Warcraft.
Ooh. SSU 100 Matt says Scott Pilgrim, while not a gaming movie per se, didn't get the props it should have at the box office. I had a lot of fun. We did a cult hosting of that right before the pandemic. No, I mean, it was about a year before. I remember hosting it in a double feature with Kung Fury here locally, and that was a lot of fun. That showing was a ton of fun. And to get to watch Scott Pilgrim with other nerds and stuff that enjoy the movie, that was a lot of fun. Shane actually went to that. I guess that was a while ago because Shane was actually here. So it must have been several years ago. I'm just losing track of time. But yeah, that was a lot of fun to host that one. Carlos,
I mean, there's also all of the Pokemon movies, but those are a little bit more related to the anime.
Carlos said Detective Pikachu, though, which I think that's a good choice. That was a good movie. I like that. So, yeah, I feel like the gaming... But now we're going to be talking about gaming TV shows, too. I can't wait for that Final Fantasy 14 show. I'm gonna eat that up whenever that comes out. I mean, mm-hmm. I know that's been slowed down because of the pandemic.
You know, I did also kind of like House of the Dead, but only kind of liked it. It was more like I need something completely mindless and violent to watch.
It's okay to like things in a cheesy kind of way, too.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I love Xanadu, so whatever.
Mm-hmm. Bobby Blackwell.
Tron Legacy is not a video game movie.
But I get it. I get it. And I think that is an answer that would qualify because no, it's not directly a video game movie, but it did kind of spawn the video games, like especially the Tron from the '80s, especially, you know, spawned the actual arcade machine discs of Tron. And I think it was more about like arcade culture was definitely like a part of that. So I would count Tron Legacy. But Bobby Blackwolf, I like this answer too. Not a video game movie, but looks like a video game. If someone asks me, what's your favorite movie that most people hate or never give a chance? It's Speed Racer. I feel like that's...
Oh, that game, that movie was great. It's actually, well, it's also a game too, but...
Fair.
Yeah, the movie was amazing.
That's one of those movies I feel like time is being very kind to. And like a lot of people, like I hear more about that movie now and people looking back on that fondly than I did when the movie came out. You know how like there's a lot of movies that end up aging pretty well and then people kind of look back on it more fondly than when it was originally out? It's definitely one of those. So love that. All right.
I think that's it for the movie chat and the roundtable stuff. Let's check in to see if there's any last-minute stories, and then we'll close up shop tonight. I'm sorry I didn't go to Discord tonight, but we are running. We're almost to 9 o'clock, so I want to make sure we kind of wrap up here in the coming moments. So let me go to last-minute stories. I will shout out the Discord, though, because I do read it, and I know I pulled some stories for tonight from it. So vognetwork.com/Discord. I enjoy seeing the chatter and the story suggestions throughout the week. Loki, do you have any last-minute stories?
Not really. I mean, there's a rumor of a game. Was it a fighting game based off of Nicktoons that I think they've already had an iOS and Android version of that's being ported to the Switch in October? Huh. So that's it.
All right. Well, then we will go around and get everybody's final thoughts. Yeah, Tiger Claw is saying the movie was directed by the directors of the Matrix. So, Wachowskis. And that is... Are they both doing the new Matrix movie or just one?
They
of
are,
those?
I think so.
I think it might be just it. It might be just Lana that's doing the Matrix. Oh. I don't know, but they're, I'm gonna sound like Loki here, but I really want to see that new Matrix movie.
Me too.
It looks like it's gonna be awesome.
But the tech that they have now, plus, be amazing.
Yeah, and plus I loved Sensei. I only got like halfway through the second season. I just was bad timing for me. I need to go back and finish that because that was an awesome show, and that was the Wachowskis as well. So awesome. All right. And Bobby Blackwolf confirms it's just Lana. So I don't know, but you know, it's other projects or something going on. All right. Anyhow, let's wrap it up with final thoughts, and then we will be out of here for tonight. But I believe Dark Soccer is doing some Dead by Daylight with cake tonight after OLR, right?
We're hanging out with our friend Debbie Delight.
Sounds
and
fun.
With a topic. We're going to be talking about skincare.
Oh, okay. I
want to do a topic every game.
That's a good idea to kind of keep the discussion going on Sunday night. I think that's clever.
I'll give you a topic. Skincare is neither skin nor care. Discuss.
All right. Darkstalker, I'll let you go first with final. Oh, wait. Actually, before I do final thoughts, I always have to say at the end of every OLR, thank you, because I do mean it. Thank you for listening to Orange Lounge Radio. If you enjoyed what you heard here at Orange Lounge Radio, tell a friend or two about the show. Help us spread the word, because we are the show where every gamer has a voice, and we need more voices here so we can diversify the opinions a little bit and just get more words out there and bring more people into this crazy family we formed here on Sunday nights over the last 19-plus years. I also want to give a quick shout out to our shop. If you haven't heard OLR in a couple weeks, you may have missed the fact that we added quite a bit of new merch to the VOG Network shop, including some OLR specific shirts. And a pretty cool new VOG Network logo that's very retro inspired. So Dark Sakura, good job. VOGnetwork.com/shop. If you want to go shopping and check out some of the merch there. Thank you again. A nice 5-star review on a site like iTunes or wherever it is you found this podcast, Spotify, Google Play, or whatever. Thank you. And you share auto hosts on Twitch. They go a long way as well. So thank you to everybody who helps us out with all of that. Now I think I'll go to final thoughts. Now that I said that mandatory part that we always have to say, because it's full of good information. So Dark Soccer, what is your final thought tonight?
I might play Pyramid Head for the first time, so I need help.
My advice is don't overdo the trail, but remember that trail will help you out like crazy in chases. So chase where pallet or use the trail where pallets used to be. Use the trail by windows. I do it little blips by the places that, because then they act more. If you leave a big old line, survivors will see it and they'll duck under it. But if you leave little blips, it'll function more like trapper traps. And you're more likely to hit people with it,
The other, but I found that was that other move that's the projectile kind of attack. I found that goes through walls.
The laser, yes, laser beam. I don't know the real name. Laser beam is great, but don't rely on it. Okay. I, in my opinion, the laser. Here's where the laser beam is going to be the best. If you know, and you've played enough killer now, Dark Sakura, you know when a survivor's about to pallet you, right?
Pretty much.
You will be shocked at how many survivors forget. The Pyramid Head has a laser beam. So when you know you're about to get palleted, hold the right mouse button to start drawing your lines. And as soon as they throw the pallet down, do your laser and you'll hit them every single time.
That sounds delightful. I might enjoy him. I enjoyed Freddy more than I thought I would.
Freddy's a lot of fun. So, yeah. Anyway. All right. So, okay, well, have a. Did I get your final thought? I don't. Oh,
that was my final thought. I might play Pyramid Head, and I need help.
I didn't know if it was just another tangent or a final thought. I couldn't remember. Sorry. All right. Have a great stream.
And but I am going to gracefully see myself out for now. I will not be on cam tonight just because these bright lights are giving me a fucking headache.
All right. Sorry for the migraine. All right. Feel better.
Sorry. No, I don't have a migraine. I'm just like they're finally starting to get to my eyes. Gotcha. So that's okay.
All right. All right. So Loki, we'll go to you and your final thought.
Hopefully I'll get a new video out this week. Like I said, the build I'm doing is pretty large, so look for that hopefully this week.
All right. My final thought, I don't usually talk about this type of stuff on the show, but I had some really good news this past week at my day job. So really, really good stuff, and I'm just very thankful. And I've had a lot of good news lately, and fingers crossed it keeps coming and I don't get walloped with bad news. But just thanks to everybody who has supported me, not just here on OLR, but in my personal life and in my daytime stuff too. I really appreciate it. I'm also really excited. I now have two hosting gigs. Dragon Con would be a third, I guess, but I have two like gigs lined up in September and October. So I'm really excited. Like that stuff is coming back and that's very exciting. So fingers crossed. If you are still not vaccinated, please consider getting the vaccine. Please read up on the facts about the vaccine and not a lot of the myths that are out there on the internet, because the more people that get vaccinated, the less chance these other things are going to spread around and the more chance we can get back to doing all this normal stuff that we're used to doing. So please, please consider doing that. I guess that's it. I think we can roll the credits now. Have a wonderful week, everybody. We'll see you in 7 days after Pokemon Go Fest. I'll be running in here with some new Pokemans and we'll do it all again. Have a good night, everybody.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or Vog Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.